Good morning. It is 9:09 a.m. I will call the Dallas City Council meeting for Wednesday, September 14, 2016, to order. Welcome, everybody. We will, first of all, Mr. Thomas is embarrassing me. He lost a bet over here, so he's, okay. So he's, because somebody didn't get out of bounds, he's wearing a Giants jersey. Anyway, we'll begin this morning with our invocation, and then we'll have a Pledge of Allegiance led by Councilman Medrano. Our invocator this morning is Pastor Max Duncan. He is the senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Mr. Callahan's district, District 5. He has been a pastor of Bethany since January 2015. Bethany is a multicultural, multi-generational church located in Pleasant Grove that holds English and Spanish services. The church serves the spiritual needs of the community through kids' clubs in local communities and schools and home Bible studies, as well as physical needs through its food pantry mission. Pastor Duncan graduated from Criswell College and holds a Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies and Pastoral Ministries. He and his wife, Janet, have three children. Pastor, thank you so much for coming downtown and giving us your invocation. All rise.
Well, Mr. Mayor, first of all, I want to say thank you for the invitation. What an honor and what a privilege. And also, council members, thank you so much for this privilege and this honor to be here among you. Let us pray. Dear God, I come before you with a humble heart, and I thank you, for you are the creator of heavens and the earth, and I acknowledge that you provide everything that we have. And God, I thank you for our mayor. I thank you for the council members of this great city. And God, and I pray that you will always give them the wisdom, the knowledge, as they seek the good of the people of our great city. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for the privilege to be here. And God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our great city, the city of Dallas. And God, help us as we try to provide the needs of the people, that we would all come together in unity. Help us. Help us to work together so we may help the people in our great city. And God, only you can give us the knowledge. Only you can give us the wisdom. And God, I thank you. I thank you for our mayor. I thank you for all those who work around him. And God, help us. Help us to come together in spite of our differences. Help us to come together as we work, as we try to find the solution. Help us. Help us, dear God. And I thank you so much, dear God, because only you can bring us together in order to help the people in this great city. So I thank you, and I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Ms. Rios, we will begin with our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our first five registered speakers are Richard Sheridan, William Hopkins, William Wynn, Regina Imbergia, and Zev Bernstein. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, the first speaker is Mr. Sheridan, William Hopkins, and William Wynn will follow.
Yes, good morning, Mayor and City Council. Richard Sheridan, 3817 Vinette Lane, Dallas, Texas. I'm here to speak about New York Central Park, Fair Park, and Trinity Park. I think the best way to find out if we're getting a good deal with Fair Park and also what's going on with the Trinity Park is have a comparison with New York's Central Park. Not that they're smarter than us up there, but they've been doing it for 300 years, 250 years longer than we have. New York Central Park and the Central Park Conservatory are models amongst the best practices for any urban park in the world. Central Park has about 40 million annual local and international visitors and considered to be the best urban park in the nation. In addition to being a great tourist attraction and a great place for New Yorkers to recreate and to go to special events, it is a great source of jobs and revenue for New York City. Some hot dog vendors must pay about $200,000 annually for a $2 hot dog. That's about $600 a day in revenue from each vendor. Donald Trump leases the famous carousel, which grosses about $800,000 annually, and he pays about $300,000 annually for this lease. The total annual revenue collected by Central Park Conservatory, as reported in a recent IRS tax return, is about $170 million, with the conservatory's annual operating expense being about $55 million. That's a net revenue to New York of a little over $100 million annually. Today, there is a war going on over Fair Park, a war of corporate interests versus taxpayers' interests, of the corporate mentality of making obscene profits versus the people's desire for a central park like Fair Park. The Fair Park Foundation, headed by Walt Uman, want a public-private partnership where the Fair Park Foundation is paid $20 million annually. That's almost a half a billion dollars with a 20-year contract to manage Fair Park. In addition, Mr. Uman wants all of Fair Park's revenue, which would include money from sponsorships, naming rights, leasing fees, concessions, special events, and the Cotton Bowl special events. And could this amount to $40 to $50 million annually? A very simple way to look at this is I own a 300-unit apartment building. I lease it to you, and I pay you a lot of money to manage it. You collect the rent, and you don't pay me one dime. You also charge me to paint all the apartments, paint the outside, and install a small park, which includes a swing set, a slide, a sandbox, a basketball court, and a small grassed area. And this park would have some food vendors who would pay you, and I wouldn't get a dime. So let's put a park in the park and the hunting for money predators out, as my T-shirt says. In the Trinity River Park, almost 18 years ago, we voted for almost $250 million. And today, what do we have to show for it? The focus primarily now is building a high-speed tollway in the flood zone, which has never been done in the world. So considering the Trinity River Park situation, the Fair Park situation, and the homeless situation, that's all at the doorstep of our mayor. So, again, let's put the money predators out and put Mayor Raw Dealings out of office. There's a city charter procedure to do that, and it is called a recall. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by William Wynn, Regina Imbergia, and Zev Bernstein.
Yeah, my name is William Hopkins. Mayor Rawlings, what they hand out to you is the same lawsuit I gave you 5 years ago. If I would have knew that your family owned slaves, if you had told us before you got elected that your family owned slaves, I wouldn't have waited this long, Mayor Rawlings, for you to help the blacks that's dying in West Dallas from this lawsuit. When the city sued, the first sheet, you've been on this 5 years. I'm going to go to the FBI again. I don't know why no city council members won't take over Miss Alonzo district like Scott Griggs doing this, doing Miss Arnold, and say something about the blacks that's dying. If we was dogs, if we was gay, if the people were gay in West Dallas, this wouldn't be happening. Somebody will say something. One of these city council members will say something. All of y'all got this letter from what I just gave y'all. Nobody don't say nothing. No blacks, Hispanics, no whites, no Jews, no nothing. Don't say nothing. But if we were dogs or gay, somebody would say something about the blacks dying in West Dallas. And if I would have knew your family owned slaves, man, I would have never waited this long on you to help these people. My brother done died. My stepfather's sick right now. The Dallas Morning News did an article December the 16th, 17th, and the 18th of 2012. And they found lead in my mother's yard. My sister dead, my mother dead, my father dead, and Miss Alonzo still letting us die. She Hispanic. Barbara Mallory let us die. Ron Kirk let us die. Laura Miller's husband worked for the Fred Byron and Bud Law Firm. They the one that the city let get the money from the city. The city sued. Y'all got it in your hand right now. The city sued and got the money. Let the blacks die. You sit there, your family owned slaves, let the blacks die. Y'all sued, gave the money to Fred Byron and Bud Law Firm, and let them pay the people. John Wiley Price, bring them to the boys' club. Bring them to a hotel. Tell them, don't tell nobody. Get all this money. Don't pay no taxes. $60 million was gave out at the boys' club. John Wiley Price and his preachers brought them to the boys' club. Nobody paid no taxes. Don't tell nobody. Everybody just get the money and don't tell nobody. People dying, they were slow. Fred told me the people were slow, and they used that. They got the medical, they got their medical report. Their lead was killing them. They were so slow they used them. And the city let them. Y'all sitting on the money, letting the blacks die. Well, not no white, no black. Nobody won't say nothing. Let the blacks die. Use the money. Fred Byron is some of these campaign finance people y'all talking about giving y'all money for different things in the city. They're using the money that they stole. Fred, Russell Budd, Dorothy Budd, Lisa Blue is Fred Byron's wife. She don't use the same name. They're using the money that they stole. Mr. Alonzo, they told Mr. Alonzo, the lawyers, the first, Scott Griggs, tell us, we talking to the federal government, tell them that we helping the people. Do this lawsuit y'all got. This is what Scott Griggs tell us. We telling the federal government that we helping all these people, William. I said, y'all telling the federal government that? They turned around and told Mr. Alonzo that they lost the papers and they got burned up. Mr. Alonzo knew it. The city attorney told Mr. Alonzo that the papers Scott Griggs them say they were helping us got burned up or got lost. Mr. Alonzo knew it, and I'm going to try to get the FBI. I know they ain't going to say nothing because your family on slaves, so the FBI might not help me. But Mr. Alonzo, you letting us die, man. Thank you, and I want to thank you for letting us die. My mama did.
Your next speaker, William Wynn. Mr. Wynn will be followed by Regina Ambergia and Zev Burstein.
My name is William Wynn. I live at 5045 Forest Lane Circle in Dallas. Mayor Rawlings, today I'm not going to tell you that fluoride is dangerous. I've already told you that before. I'm not going to tell you that fluoridation is unsafe and ineffective. I've already told you that too. You've already been informed that mandatory fluoridation is bad public policy. You've already been informed that fluoridation puts Dallas citizens in harm's way, particularly minorities. Today, instead, I'm going to tell you about the Environmental Protection Agency. EPA has lent its credibility to the pro-fluoridation movement for decades. But do you know of the questionable role played by the EPA following the 9/11 attacks upon the World Trade Center in 2001? The collapse of the three office towers released thousands of tons of dangerous particulates into the air. These included asbestos, lead, chromium, benzene, PCBs, dioxins, and hundreds of other dangerous substances. Yet then EPA Administrator Christine Todd Whitman appeared twice in New York City soon after the September 11th attacks to inform New Yorkers that the toxins released by the attacks posed no threat to their health. For instance, she said, quote, "The concentrations are such that they don't pose a health hazard. We're going to make sure that everybody is safe," unquote. Nevertheless, a 2003 report by the EPA Inspector General determined that the assurance was misleading because the EPA, quote, "did not have sufficient data and analyses," unquote, to justify it. Manhattan residents later sued the EPA in a 2006 decision allowing that suit to go forward. A federal judge wrote, quote, "Whitman's deliberate and misleading statements shock the conscience." Nevertheless, Whitman refused to testify, and fortunately for her, the lawsuit was ultimately dismissed on shaky legal grounds. Another agency with credibility problems is CDC, already notorious for its infamous claim that fluoridation was one of the top 10 public health achievements of the 20th century. CDC is currently trying up trying to cover up the linkage between the triple MMR vaccine and autism. I understand that you might find that hard to believe, so I'm going to invite you to a public screening of the movie Vaxxed, which will be held this coming Sunday, September 18th at 3 p.m. in the community room at Valley View Mall in North Dallas. There you will have the rare opportunity to meet Dr. Andrew Wakefield, the courageous English doctor and medical researcher whose research launched the whole controversy back in 1998. So thank you for allowing me this time, and I hope to see you at the movie on Sunday.
Thank you.
Regina Imbergia. Zev Burstein will follow.
Hi, I'm Regina Imbergia. I'm in Philip Kingston's district, and my ongoing concern and request is to halt fluoridation. But today I'm going to start out with inviting you and giving a little more details about the event that's going to happen on Sunday at Valley View Mall, which is 13331 Preston, and in the community room. It's going to go from 2 in the afternoon until 8:30, and we are going to have many health practitioners there, along with Dr. Wakefield. And from 3 to 4:30, we're going to screen the movie Vaxxed. Now, the movie Vaxxed is going nationwide, and it's because there is a CDC whistleblower that admits fraud. And he came out because he had been secretly recorded in some of his conversations talking about how concerned he is for covering up data. He now is under whistleblower protection, still working at the CDC, and he has 10,000 pages of documents that has gone to Congress, and Jason Chaffetz and the Government Oversight Committee is looking into having a investigation on this what's happened. So he has committed fraud, and he also is admitting to it that this connection with the MMR and autism, the data was cooked and thrown away. There were 5 scientists on that study, and he, like I say, is in, at that time when he was doing it, he had 17 years, and he got awards every year. So this is the same CDC that I have heard many of you and many people say. They say fluoridation is safe and effective because the CDC said it was one of the top 10 health achievements in the 20th century. Well, science evolves and things, new studies come out. And I heard Kingston, my councilman who's not here today, who will not discuss anything with me, but on September 17th during the city council briefing meeting when item 3 was being discussed about the mosquito spraying, he said, "We need to balance risk and benefit." This is a quote. "We know there is a risk from the spraying. We do not have the data to prove there is a benefit. To do our job to be responsible to our citizens, we should require proof before we sign off on consent." I have been asking for 3 years that we should have a committee meeting, you know, Quality of Life and Environment Committee meeting. Because for 3 years, you all haven't shown us the proof. The proof that you have that says that adding hydrofluorosilicic acid to our water is safe. And it's not, you don't have the proof. Every time that batch is delivered, they're supposed to have the documents that prove that it has passed the Texas Rule 290.42J. And that product is not going through those rigors of testing, yet you're still putting it in the water. So I have 5 seconds left to say thank you, and I hope you will come to the free event on Sunday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Zev Burstein. Mr. Burstein's coming forward.
Hello, everybody. My name is Zev Burstein, and I am a senior at Yavne Academy in Dallas. And I'm about to blow your minds. A recent study showed that a majority of Americans feel unfavorably about either of the two likely future presidents, and 81% fear one of them becoming president. Democracy is what makes America so great. Regardless of your personal feelings towards either of the two candidates, as proponents and defending champions of democracy, as well as masters of basic arithmetic, I'm sure you can understand how this makes no sense. And this is happening not only at the federal level, but at the state and local levels as well. But Zev, you say, there's got to be a better way that saves loads of money, produces more accurate election results, and is consistently proven successful all over America and the rest of the world. Instant runoff voting, abbreviated IVR, revitalizes American democracy. With IVR, when electors cast their ballot, they choose their favorite candidate and rank the remaining candidates in order of preference. Without going into the exact logistics in these wonderful 3 minutes, with IRV, you are wholly safe in voting for the candidate you actually like. In the event that he or she cannot win the election, your second place vote, acting as a safety net, takes over and becomes your vote. This is followed by third, fourth, and so on. This eliminates the spoiler effect and eliminates strategic voting. This destroys the notion of voting for the lesser of two evils. The ranked vote movement is gaining support at an exponential rate, and already 10 U.S. cities, including San Francisco, have successfully adopted it and love it. Maine is having a referendum soon to become the first state to adopt IRV statewide. And the best part about IRV is that it saves lots of money. In Dallas, for example, implementing IRV would eliminate the need to hold two municipal elections and produce far more accurate results in only one. In Nevada, where data are available, this would save about $4 million of the taxpayers' money every election. You could all get a very nice raise with $4 million. I'm well aware of the obstacles we would encounter in the fight to bring IRV to Dallas. I'm not here, however, to sit idly by and observe a flawed system continue to undermine our democracy just out of fear of the uphill battle it would take to change it. I'm here to fight for my ideals, and I hope that you will join me. And together, folks, we're going to make Dallas great again.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you. Thank you, Zev. Zev is a resident of District 11 and goes to Yavin Academy, which is one of the prep schools in North Dallas. Very much encourage you to stay engaged. He has emailed with me and talked to Brylan Franklin, our elections administrator. And this is a really interesting idea that I think we should pursue. It may take some help at the state level, as we've discussed with you, but the idea of not having to bother with a runoff election and just kind of dealing with it all at once is very interesting. So thank you for your advocacy, and thank you for staying engaged. And when they're done with me, maybe you can run for council.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Rios? That concludes your speakers for the morning session. All remaining open microphone additional speakers will be called in the afternoon.
Thank
you. Agenda item number one is approval of minutes of the August 24, 2016 City Council meeting and the August 29 and August 30 special called meetings.
Do we have any discussion? Any edits? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We do have two speakers on a couple of consent agenda items. Our first speaker is Hella Mayberry, and she will be speaking on agenda item 34, and Ben Sandifer will be speaking on agenda item 48. Ms. Mayberry, if you're present, please come forward. You do have 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. Please state your name and address for the record and stay to the item, please.
Good morning. My name is Hella Mayberry. To the members of the Dallas City Council and my councilwoman, Tiffany Young, District 7, thank you for the opportunity to speak regarding the excessive blowing of the Union Pacific Railroad train horn and its noise impact on the residents of the Cedar Run neighborhood at the corner of Perry Creek and Military Parkway. For the past 2 years, we have experienced a significant increase in the noise level of the horns, so much so that at times it is unbearable. We are experiencing sleepless nights, shattered nerves, severe headaches, attitude changes, and many other issues related to irritability that carries over into our daily lives, especially our jobs. I ask you today, Dallas City Council, would this type of noise be acceptable in your neighborhood? Would this noise be acceptable to you if you had to work the next day and be expected to operate with maximum efficiency? Would it be acceptable to you if someone in your household had ongoing or terminal health issues and could not rest at night? Would it be acceptable to you if your child was interrupted all times during the night, then expected to be at peak performance in school and have a good attitude? I ask you today, city council persons, if you were encountering the situations I just mentioned, would you expect something to be done to alleviate the problem? We, the members of the Cedar Run neighborhood, recommend that a quiet zone be put in place to give the residents the peace and quiet that they deserve and the quality of life that the city of Dallas promotes. If a quiet zone can be approved for a neighboring commercial district, how can we not approve a quiet zone for residents of a neighborhood who are being disturbed? I appeal to you today to do the right thing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Your next speaker on agenda item 48 is Ben Sandifer.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. My name is Ben Sandifer, 8610 Southwestern, Dallas, Texas, District 14. City of Dallas actions of omission and commission by ignoring their own ordinances and policies as well as state law is the foundation of why agenda item 48 is before the City Council today. City staff actions circumvented the governing body of the City Council upon which you sit. City staff working in conjunction with the self-serving individuals and special interests manipulated the municipal system with safeguards, checks, and balances. It is this gray area of a government petri dish where their illegitimate spawn is allowed to flourish in the dark on an unspoken ledger locked away from public view. The City Council's needed prerequisite approval for large expenditures and policy decision-making have been completely ignored. In September 2014, the City Planning Commission and Dallas City Council delivered severe criticism directed toward city staff and their seeming indifference at following the laws of the land regarding this very project. One glaring example left off the agenda item, historical timeline today, is a critical document, D134031, a development plan change by a private developer asking retroactive permission to excavate the pit the size of Cowboys Stadium on city-owned land for which they held no contract. Highly critical of needing to retroactively approve a plan already executed, Planning Commission members voiced concern that the governmental process needed to be followed in the future. Most of the change order expense came not from what is in the agenda item historical outline timeline in your agenda today, but is properly outlined in D134-031, Simba Area 1 of PD 883. The criticism apparently fell on deaf ears. Since that time, from that very moment, a renegade and expensive change order process began by city staff with no authority to do so, and now an astounding $592,000 falls upon the overburdened shoulders of the city taxpayer. The spreadsheet line items that I have tell a tale of the well-documented destruction of critical natural habitat, draining of federally protected wetlands, clear-cutting of timber, and wholesale strip mining on our city's greatest asset, the Great Trinity Forest. That's not really the issue. Some might say it's much ado about nothing. That is until days like today, when the largely unvetted work product, a bloated past due bill of nearly $600,000, lands on your desks, 2 years in the making. Still, some could say it looks rather inexpensive on paper, a mid-six-figure number. Cheap. The rush and sins to build a private venue here will be a burden not foisted upon the City Council that I stand before today. It will be a burden delivered to the future generations of City Councils with the enormous sums needed to fix breach pit walls, erosion, and a myriad of problems caused by bad engineering, bad planning, and no oversight. Keep your checkbook out. Things will be getting expensive. The City Council's needed prerequisite approval for large expenditures and policy decision-making were completely ignored and continue to be ignored. They would rather ask forgiveness after the fact today than permission 2 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Grayson.
Can I ask staff to respond to
yes.
that?
Go ahead.
Good morning, Ms. Grayson. The change order that you are looking at is a change order for work that was performed in the field. It was a relatively complicated job.
Right into the mic. Yeah.
It was a relatively complicated job in that there was a city project manager as well as the developer's project manager. The contractor was receiving direction from both. This work has been completed, and the attorneys worked through our office with us to get to the end solution of this change order, and it completes the job.
So was there some contractor that was doing work that was unauthorized? And
so in the original plan specifications that were bid, the contractor was allowed the opportunity to use on-site water control. The on-site water control did come from a pond. We also had the dirt from this borrowed source as part of what created the caps for the remedial efforts on the landfill.
Could you send me a memo and detail that
a little
bit more for me, please?
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Young.
I apologize. I have a question about item 34. I want to thank Ms. Mayberry for coming down to speak this morning. And a question for staff, for the constituents that are listening. We have a few that couldn't make it from the Cedar Run Neighborhood Association. Could you just briefly describe what the process is from this point forward? I think there was some confusion about what today's action is for item 34.
Okay, today's action follows the action from April, the notice of intent to establish the quiet zone. This action is actually establishing the quiet zone. City have installed the supplemental safety measures required by the FRA to eliminate the blowing of the train horn at these at-grade intersections. We're expecting this to be effective on October 10th.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We now proceed to consideration of the consent agenda, which consisted of agenda items number 2 through 52 and addendum consent agenda items 1 through 4. Agenda item number 17 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Kingston. Therefore, remaining on your consent agenda for approval are agenda items number 2 through 16, 18 through 52, and addendum items number 1 through 4.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a question about, and I'm in favor of it, but item number 12. And I just talked to Mr. Bowers. I got most of that. My question answered, except for the fact that this is a one-year grant. And the question I would have for the city attorneys, and this is the community courts, is, do we have any plans then after this 1 year to be able to keep this program in place, or do we keep having to keep reapplying for the grant?
Mr. Bowers.
I'm sorry. I should have asked Chris to keep the person here for you. And this is for the abuse and mental health services, but it's during the grant period. So, Diane, thank you.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, I just walked in.
Okay, the question I had, and I'm in support of it, so I did pull it, on item number 12, which is accepting the grant for the, and we talked about this in the community courts opening last week, but for the abuse and mental health services, and it's bringing on a new employee. So do you have an opportunity to reapply for this grant year after year, or what's the plan to be able to keep this services in you know, going after the grant? Because I think it's just a one-year grant.
No, it's a three-year
grant. Oh, it's a three-year grant.
It's a three-year grant. So we're actually in our third year, and then we're at the renewal part for renewing it for 3 years. So this grant actually goes for 3 years.
Okay, so this is renewing for three more years.
Right.
All right, I read that wrong. You're hopeful that you'll be able to keep this program going forward after that? Or?
I would pray that we are.
Okay. I don't know. I just think it's something to consider when we get these great grants and we bring on personnel, and I was looking, like, this has a $30,000 pension cost just because of the salary for those years, that, you know, we're bringing people on and we don't want to have to let them go and then it gets absorbed into the government. So, okay.
Thank you.
But I'm excited about the program.
Thank you, Mr. Medrano.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make a comment on number 33, the D-Link, and I want to thank DART and staff for taking a look at a Deep Ellum stop. It's three blocks from the farmer's market. I guess they thought I was talking about driving up and down Deep Ellum. I just wanted one stop to drop off and pick up, and I think they're looking at somewhere along Good Latimer at Main Elm or Commerce. So I want to thank them for that. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 17, an ordinance amending sections 47A.1-1-4, 47A-1.6, 47A-2, 0.1.2, 47A-2.1.8, 47A-2.2.1, 47A-2.3.2, 47A-2.3.3, 47A-2.3.5, 47A-2.4.8, 47A-2.5.1, and 47A-2.5.2 of Chapter 47A, Transportation for Hire, of the Dallas City Code to, number one, clarify certain exclusions and definitions, number two, clarify insurance requirements, number three, prohibit an operating authority from owning a certain interest or maintaining control over entities that inspect or certify vehicles as required to obtain a vehicle permit under this chapter. Number four, provide that the director may request information to verify airport fees from operating authorities. Number five, add requirements for vehicle permits. Number six, remove certain vehicle quality standards. Number seven, synchronize the vehicle permit validity period with the state registration period. Number eight, adjust the flat rates from Love Field and Dallas-Fort Worth International Airports. Number nine, clarify what flat rates from airports include. And number 10, make certain other grammatical changes. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
I move approval of the changes.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The by and large, I think the changes are really good, and I think that they sort of respond to issues that I think I raised when we initially passed for the changes to 47A, which is basically the vehicle quality standards were insanely over complex and way too hard to administer. Most of that has been fixed. The reason I pulled it is because the very first vehicle quality standard has been changed from something that apparently has been working for the last year to something that I think is going to be a Pandora's box. To change the vehicle quality standard to the interior and exterior are clean and appear new or substantially like new is a standard that casual drivers for Uber and Lyft and other car hire companies simply cannot meet. Now, what I think staff's response to that is going to be is that they have a broad definition of like new condition and they're not going to exclude anybody. But I can't vote for this if the language itself makes it impossible to be a casual driver. And unfortunately, I think this is in the ordinance we passed originally, which was part of the reason I was unable to support it at the time. I'd really like staff to take another look at this. To my way of thinking, if the car is legal to be on the road, then customers should be allowed to get in whatever car they do or don't want. All of these companies have rating systems for these cars. This is something that yet another issue where we have regulated something that was already regulating itself. I want to praise staff and make sure that they understand that I think they're doing a very good job with this. And I think we're being looked at as a model. The little changes to what appear to me to set an impossible standard make the whole thing impossible to support. Would there be any way for staff to take another look at this? Is there some response to the idea that new or like new condition is a standard that can be met?
Catching my breath from running down here, skipped to the item. Good morning, Mayor, Council. I wanted to respond to Councilmember Kingston's comments and just to let you know it's not new. That provision in the ordinance was from the original. I guess there's a way of interpreting it that sets a impossibly high standard, but the truth is none of the inspection stations or staff have interpreted it that way. what we've had is a great result in getting good quality vehicles. It doesn't mean new. It means in good condition, well taken care of. And that's the way the inspection stations have approached it. And we have the history of implementation of the ordinance to show us that it hasn't been a problem. I spoke with both companies about this issue. They don't have a problem with it. It hasn't, because in fact, as a practical matter, it's worked out really great, actually.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I think what I want to do is make a substitute motion to adopt all of the changes to 47A that are listed in agenda item number 17 with the following change. 47A-2.3.3 sub 1 will not be changed. We'll revert to the old language.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We're voting on that. Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
I had just left my button on. I wasn't going to really respond to that, other than to say that when we started this process of revising the vehicle for hire, there was a concern about having old junkers wind up being on the road, and people were concerned about that, and this general provision was to address that. It's not an impossible standard to meet. We've been meeting it. It hasn't been problematic. We've had a year and a half of experience with this ordinance, and so that's what Ms. Miles is referencing.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. As much as it pains me to agree with Mr. Kingston, he is right about this. We need to just make sure the vehicles are safe, and the market will regulate whether vehicles, they're easily rated. One thing I do want to, an analogy or I want to keep in mind is in our housing area, we have similar issues where we need to make sure our standards are about safety and not about so much about quality. But nevertheless, in this particular area, safety is the key, and let's let the market regulate people out by just the way they respond to the comments and stuff on particular drivers. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. I agree with Mr. Kleinman and Mr. Kingston. I have concerns about getting into regulating the quality rather than safety. The rating systems used by the transportation for hire technology takes care of that issue. People got an old junker out there on the road. People are going to give them one star, and they're not going to be around for very long. It's going to take care of itself. I also have concerns about the airport language in there. I think that language, rather than putting in an ordinance, would be better suited for an airport agreement between the city and the providers. So those are my concerns, but I will go ahead and support Mr. Kingston's proposed amendment. Also, I have concerns that Uber and Lyft weren't fully contacted and had an opportunity to give input. I spoke with them, and they expressed reservations. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll have a record vote. Oh, Ms. Grayson.
Ms. Miles talks to Uber and Lyft, I think, almost daily, and she just said she checked with them and they had no problems with these changes.
Thank you. Ms. Gates?
That was my question. I was going to address Mrs. Grayson to see if they had been. Well, you may have brought up some good points. I just think we've had such a good working relationship with all the operators and through your leadership and the city staff that I think changing things at the last moment when we don't have an opportunity to vet it out with those operators and publicly with our constituents, I don't think is really fair when it hasn't been published. So I will not be supportive of it.
I will be supportive of our committee work and Mr. Kleinman.
I'm sorry, can I get maybe a point of clarification from Mr. Kingston? Because when I actually look at the section 47A2.32, where it has the requirements, it looks like there were a lot of strikeouts on proposed, and if you're proposing to roll back to the original, is that going to indeed leave all these standards in?
No, I'm just calling out 47A.2.3.3 sub 1.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and in terms of new language, it's not new language, it's the language you've been operating under. I can hear staff say we can interpret this one way or another, but to put language in there that on its face, black letter, has a standard that we don't intend to enforce, that's crazy.
But there are other standards. Oh, I'm sorry, you're just dealing with that. So all those other standards will be stricken. Got it. Thank you.
Mayor, could I ask Ms. Miles to respond?
Ms. Miles.
Thank you. Just to be clear, Councilmember Kingston, that language has always been in there. There is literally no additions to the amendments to the vehicle quality standards. There are only deletions. So what we were trying to do was condense it, streamline it. We talked with the inspection stations. We were trying to get the biggest bang for our buck in a streamlined process and make it easier. That provision of new or substantially new was really just meant to be quality, make it look good, that as a policy, as a council's policy decision to want nice-looking vehicles inside and out, as particularly at our airports, was my understanding of the policy driving that when the ordinance was adopted, and it's not new. This is a completely scaled back, streamlined version, but there's not a single addition to that vehicle quality standard section.
Ms. Grayson.
And I think the key here is it's been working for a year and a half, and we've had no complaints other than that we've taken some of those quality standards and rolled them back because it was getting too difficult. The car had to go up on the lift, and it was getting to be very complicated and expensive. And so that's the feedback that we heard. And so we've modified this to respond to that, and we've had no concerns about this language of appearing new or substantially like new, because you do want some kind of quality standard. In addition to a safety standard, you want some kind of quality standard.
And the feedback we've had, Councilmember Grayson, is that has been very good in terms of the quality of the vehicles has been something that people have noticed, and we've gotten very positive feedback from that.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. Just a question for the record, Ms. Miles. At Uber, who approved these changes that you spoke to, the individual's name?
Well, approved might not be the word I would use.
Well, then first
but
off, what word
have been,
would you use?
Well, I speak with Leandra Johns.
Instead of approved, what past tense verb would you use?
Asked for.
You asked for.
No, they asked for.
They asked for these changes.
Uber has been, Uber and Lyft both, other companies, we've had lots of feedback. Really, as much as anything, this was incorporating feedback from the companies and staff about how we could make the inspections more streamlined, less expensive, and try to get a really good sort of bang for the dollar, you know, when they're inspected, and still achieve the policy goals of being safe. I mean, what this is it was scaled back
okay,
to
we're
the
getting,
state inspection.
We're getting away from the question. We walked way away from the question. I'm going to pull you back to the question. Who at Uber did you show this to? And then you said the individual didn't approve it. So who did you show it to? And then what was the reaction? What verb would you use in your words? Those two things. So a person and then the verb.
Leandre Johns.
Okay, Leandre Johns. And did he
Leandre Johns
did he express support? Is that a good verb?
He asked for the changes.
He asked for these changes. Uber asked for all these changes.
Uber has been asking for the changes.
These specific changes, on the record, Leandre Johns asked for them all.
Well, Uber didn't draft these changes and present them to us. They asked in general, as a general matter, to scale back the inspection requirements, particularly so that
the
cars
didn't... Did you show these exact changes to anyone at Uber? Yes or no?
Councilmember, I don't even have I don't draft the
okay.
The actual
so
ordinance.
Everyone
that's
at city
not
staff
on my
is my question is, and it's a fair question because we want to keep our relationship with Uber and Lyft. You got a bunch of changes that you want to make. You're saying that they're from feedback, that Uber and Lyft were giving you feedback saying we want these changes. You then draft these changes. The natural reaction would be then to say, here are these changes. Are these responsive to what you want to see to keep that relationship? So this document with these changes in there, did you show them to Mr. Johns? Yes or no? Or you can say you don't remember.
I remember well. I don't have the document, but I knew exactly what we wanted to do, and I detailed
it in
emails.
Did you show him the document? Did you email it to him?
Councilmember, I don't have the document to show him.
Well, it's right here. It's in our packet.
Well,
what do you mean you don't
have
the document?
And I was aware that
they had it. That doesn't make any sense. You're not even making any sense. What do you mean you don't have the document? You put it in the packet.
I didn't
put it in
the packet.
I got to get some answers here on this. Did you? I mean, she's not answering the question.
Well, my answer is Leandre Johns, and I told them exactly.
Did you show the document to Mr. Johns? Yes or no?
Please. Let's just let everybody finish their sentence, okay?
She's running out my clock, Mayor, not answering the question.
I understand that, and we'll be there. So go ahead and finish your sentence.
The substance of the changes, yes, I let them know in writing what they would be, and they were very happy.
They responded their happiness by saying, we're happy, in an email? I'm just asking. I know we've got some huffs and puffs over here on the side, but
yes.
I'm going to hold up on their huffs and puffs.
I mean, I don't know if happy was the word. Might have been great. That's awesome.
Then at Lyft, who'd you show the document to?
Got it.
There's a different part of the office that actually drafts the.
And we got staff up there. One of you other know, and one of you are.
Mr. Griggs, just let her finish when she tries to answer it, okay? I want her to be responsive to you, but let her finish.
My Lyft contact, Mr. Griggs, is. It's been Tony Albert. It's been here locally, Sarah Dodd, who I spoke with as recently as yesterday, late afternoon. There are numerous contacts, but probably Sarah Dodd and Tony Albert have been the main ones. April Mims sometimes.
Okay, so you showed them the document.
I told them they knew of the changes, and they had seen the document. They were asking because it was posted.
Okay, so they approved the changes.
It's been posted a couple of times, actually.
They expressed support or approval for the changes.
Support,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
I don't see Uber or Lyft down here objecting to these changes. Ms. Miles works with them almost daily, and I just don't think badgering her changes the fact that they're okay with these changes. She did it in concert with them requesting these changes. I don't know that they need to give their stamp of approval to every word. What they did was request these changes. She responded to them. They're good changes. Let's move forward.
Mr. Wilson.
Thank you. I just had a question. Instead of going through the whole litigation, battering the witness scenario, is there something that you could send in a memo, these questions? Answer these questions. Is that something that we can get in a memo?
Sure, I'd be
before.
Happy to.
I mean, just to clarify some questions that he has.
I'd be happy to detail my communications with both companies if that would be helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. These changes, they're for all transportation for hire, correct? Like yellow cab and
that's correct.
And limo drivers. So that's, you're communicating with them too, correct? Or
not me personally, but I guess it. I think it would be fair to say that it benefits all because it was viewed as a lesser regulation.
Right, and we're all regulating everybody equally too. That was part of our motivation for having this ordinance. So just some guidance for everybody, all staff is, I mean, I think we're thank you for listening and welcoming all their comments, but I'm not asking for you to go out and get anybody's approval or have anybody write any ordinance for us. It's taking that input and then taking it through quality of life is is appropriate. Drafting it on your own is what we expect you to do. And then publishing it, which you did, and our agenda, and I think anybody that's in the car for hire business, it's going to red flag when they see that our ordinance for that is changing. And then they are free to contact any of us, and they're free to come down here and talk and share their concerns. And I haven't heard from me personally, maybe other council members have, but I haven't heard any yellow cab, limo drivers, Uber, Lyft. Nobody's contacted me and had a problem with these changes. When I read them, I called Ms. Grayson because I knew she had been working with them to try to understand the rationale for why these were being put in place. I think if they had a problem with this, they've in the past they've let us know pretty rapidly. I think as quickly as, you know, maybe a few minutes after something's been posted. So I have to assume that they're pretty content with these and they're not filling up our chambers today. So thank you for your work. And I want to just reiterate, please have the independence that we're not catering to just to any. I mean, I want to be friends of Lyft and Uber, but also we need to have a good cab service here in Dallas too. So thank you.
Thank you.
And that being said, is the reason why I'm going to get support. The transparent way we did things through committee and then through this publication and not be changing things at the last minute.
Thank you. I concur with Ms. Gates. We've got to be transparent with all providers. I mean, there was a lot of criticism of staff for getting too close to yellow cab. I hope we're not too close to anybody, okay? And, this notion of they've got to look at every word, that was, I think, a problem that people pointed out early on in this process. So thank you for being transparent. Now, it seems like we're dancing counting how many angels can dance on the head of a pin here, and I think you've lost some of us. You said, Mr. Kingston said, he wants to go back to the original language, and you said what he wants to take out was in the original language. So what do you take his amendment to be, and is that consistent with the notion of going back to the original language?
As I understand his amendment, it would just put the wording that is in one subsection back up into the lead paragraph.
I'm sorry. Mr. Kingston probably is going to answer that. Maybe
Ms. Miles, right. My confusion stems from the way that staff has used redlining. This is not appropriate. The way that you have this lined out, underlines are additions, strike-throughs are deletions. That's how it always works when you swap red lines. So I will modify my motion to say that what I want 47A-2.3.3 sub A sub 1 to read is blank. Delete the whole thing. If you guys are so good at this, then you don't need that language.
Right. So that sounds like a little different from before. Is that right, Mr. Kingston? Is it?
Yes, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
So do we still have that second, Ms. Griggs?
Second.
Okay. So we've got that on the now. So would you explain to the rest of us how we're not going back to the original language then?
As I understand where Councilmember Kingston would delete subparagraph A 1 through 4 or 1 through 3?
Just one.
Just one.
It's a catch-all for all the rest of the stuff that you already have in the section below there.
That's right.
Okay, you got it?
Yes.
Would you kind of describe to the rest of the council what we're voting on, since you're the lawyer?
Well, I think Councilmember Kingston's characterization of that as being kind of a catch-all is a fair, accurate description of it. Honestly, I don't think, as a practical matter, I don't think you lose much by deleting it,
okay,
because it's picked up about there's more detailed requirement for the interior to be clean and free of tears and so forth, and the subparagraph 4 is in the paint, is in good condition, so you're looking at the exterior. So, yeah.
So, Mr. Mayor, so the net change would be today's ordinance currently reads, the exterior and interior are clean and appear new or substantially like new. That's in subsection A, which is above number 1. That language would be deleted entirely from the new ordinance. That's the net change.
Thank you. Okay, we're all clear on that. With that, we will be voting on Mr. Kingston's amendment. We'll take a record vote. Ms. Rios.
Please cast your vote. Fourteen have voted. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, Kleinman, Clayton, Kingston, and Griggs. Voting against, Council Members McGew, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Member Gates, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Callahan, Grayson, and Young. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Now we'll vote on Ms. Grayson's motion. Take a record vote. Take a record vote.
Thirteen have voted. 14. 14 have voted. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, now 15 have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, McGew, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Members Gates, Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Deputy Mayor Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, and Young. Voting against, Council Member Griggs. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Thank you. We move to agenda item number 53, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have for full council appointment to the Trinity River West Municipal Management District. Stuart Fitz is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, and he meets the agent of property in District Dallas resident requirement. His term will end July 1, 2017. For individual appointment, you have to the Permit and License Appeal Board, Chad A. West. It's nominated by Councilmember Griggs, and Manuel Tellez is nominated by Councilmember Medrano, and their terms will end September 30, 2017.
Motion. We have a second. We have a motion. We have a second. We have a second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
On agenda item 54 is authorized, number 1, a one-year service contract with 4 one-year renewal options with People Fund, most advantageous proposer, to administer the City of Dallas CDBG Business Revolving Loan Program. And number 2, any unexpended balances of program income and allocations from contract with a previous administrator, Southern Dallas Development Corporation, be rolled over to fund the City of Dallas CDBG Business Revolving Loan Program. We do have two registered speakers on the item, Shannon L. Bodie and James Hairston. Ms. Bodie? Mr. Bodie? Just as long as there's no disagreement. You have 3 minutes, sir. You'll notice the timer. Please stay to the topic.
Good morning. I'm Jim Harrison, President of New Capital Funding, 12770 Merritt, Dallas 75251. I'm speaking on the business loan program, also known in your thing as economic development deal. I sent emails to all of you yesterday. This bid is flawed, and your choice of SDDC / People Fund is not a good choice. I'm going to talk first about how the bid is flawed. In June, we saw this particular deal, and it looked very good for New Capital and its partners. We know they wanted a blue ribbon team to administer this thing, so I assembled a group of civic leaders, businessmen, bankers, lawyers, community leaders to take this project, and where we would go and see these loan recipients, take them by the hand, see them weekly, and be able to grow their business by showing them new places to find business, give them additional capital to grow. The original bid was to bid out to loan out $300,000 a year for 5 years, so a total of $1.5 million, and it was no big deal. It's, like I said, it's right up our alley. In early July, an amendment came out for them to they made it where then they said, by the way, you're going to also take on the existing loan portfolio. Well, in the spirit of transparency, the loan portfolio was never listed in the bid in the beginning or then, so we didn't know the exact amount of money it would cost us to do that part of the project. Shannon will speak to that in just a moment. But in this deal, I spoke to Mike Frosch and another lady yesterday about this, and I told them that this is not a good situation, that the bid needs to be thrown out and started over with all the corrections. She disagreed, which would be her prerogative. But when you look at it, first of all, who loses? The folks that are taking the loans, you want to be able to give them loans and get paid back. That's how the city and the federal government has a successful program. A successful program, if it doesn't collect the money, well, then it's not really a business loan program, and who's not succeeding? We want them to succeed and be able to pay their loans back and take that money and put it to new loans for other people to start their companies. And this gives the private sector a chance to say, hey, this is a good, safe investment. Let's put more money in. So I hope that you all send the bid back, have it rewritten, and rebid. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Shannon Bodie. Mr. Bodie, you will have 3 minutes, and it'll be important that you stay to the topic, please.
It's an honor to meet all of you. Thank you for this time. We are here today to ask that you vote for New Capital Funding and Partners. BQZ 1616 is supposed to provide financing to build strong linkage with the business community and provide and retain jobs for the residents who live in low to moderate communities, and also provide financial incentives that will help small businesses to add or retain jobs with a focus on minority and women-owned businesses. For this to occur, there needs to be an incubator filled with Dallas's finest professionals that will help nurture the businesses and the existing loan portfolio as well as the new loan recipients. The team New Capital Funding has presented that we hope you will vote for is filled with Dallas's finest individuals. We have Harvard MBAs, we have investors, we have a former Dallas County Treasurer, we have lawyers, lenders, personnel affiliated with University of Texas at Arlington, me as a veteran. The reason that the procurement process failed to select us is because it was flawed. New Capital Funding and Partners wants to charge the city $150,000 in year one, but cannot guarantee that price because the procurement process failed to reveal the condition of the existing loan portfolio that must be managed as of Addendum 3, which was issued on 7/8/2016. Prior to Addendum 3, New Capital Funding was only made aware that new loans need to be generated in order to create sustained jobs in Dallas. This document I'm reading from is what I've been handed out to all of you, and I emailed you as well late yesterday evening. If you go to page 6, People Fund is ill-equipped to help DFW businesses create and sustain jobs. The City of Dallas annual performance and evaluation report year 2014 states that South Dallas Development Corporation personnel, which were acquired by People Fund, could only produce the following results: 10 full-time jobs, 24 part-time jobs, and only made 3 loans. With 30 seconds left. The original RFCSP stated, all inquiries and requests for information regarding the RFCSP shall be submitted in writing within 1 week after the pre-approval, the pre-proposal meeting by 5 p.m. The pre-proposal meeting was on 6/13/2016. And again, Addendum 3, which made us responsible for the existing loan portfolio, was given to us on 7/8/16. Thank you for your time. Please vote New Capital Funding.
Mr. Mayor, no more speakers on the item.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve, Mr. Callahan, or a motion, whatever the motion is. Excuse me.
Mr. Mayor.
Let's get the motion on the floor first, sorry. Whatever.
Mayor, I'm going to move that we approve the item, but I do have some comments.
Okay. Do we have a second? Okay. Ms. Alonzo, second. Comments? Go ahead.
I'd like to bring our Director of Economic Development down for some questions. Mr. Carl Zavikowski. And James, would you please come join us as well? No. James.
Who's James?
Yes. Carl, I just wanted to ask you to tell us about the kind of the background very briefly of SDDC and the People Fund and reason for this move for them to basically join forces with the People Fund, if you would.
Mr. Callahan, I'm going to let Lee McKinney talk to you about that because she's been.
Lee, go ahead.
Thank you. Not specifically your question again.
The SDDC has been standing alone, and now they're joining the People Fund, as I understand. Would you just explain a little bit of the background of SDDC and its mission and the reason for going to the People Fund?
Okay. SDDC was created over 20 years ago to bring an alternative lending program to the city of Dallas because small businesses struggled to get loans in the conventional sources. And so for over 20-something-odd years, the Community Development Block Grant Program has funded a part of what they do. SDDC runs four loan programs, one of which is the Community Development Block Grant Program. They have run it successfully for over 20 years. They have made over $20 million in loans, created over 2,000 jobs, leveraged over $40 million from other sources. The People Fund is an entity that is created in Austin, operates in the Valley, and has been trying to get a presence in the city of Dallas for a very long time. So they basically are competitors with SDDC. So they all got together and talked about what they do and looked at the strengths of each and decided that they would be a stronger entity if they merged. SDDC has a major presence in southern Dallas, which is the area where People Fund would also like to have a presence. They talked it over, the synergies worked, they agreed upon a merger, and effective September 30th, People Fund and SDDC will merge, and it will become the People Fund.
Excuse me, when the RFP was basically put out there, it was selected on what merits?
The RFP was put out to find and operate. Well, first of all, SDDC's contract ends on September 30th. So we put it out for bids, as we do every 5 years, and as you know, there were three respondents to the bid. But the bid was put out there for an entity that could manage a community development block grant business revolving loan program, be in compliant with whatever the government requires based on their experience with having operated such a fund, and then operate in communities where low-income small businesses are located, and give jobs to low to moderate income people. So that's what the RFP was put out there for. We are always, at the end of 5 years, looking for somebody who can get us past HUD so we don't have to give the money back if we're not compliant. And SDDC has been compliant for all the years that we've done this. The last eight, they've had clean audits, and they have met all of the requirements. And this program is only one of four that they operate. The other three, they will continue to operate. So we have had good success with them. They will no longer be in business, so People Fund opted to submit a bid in order to operate the program along with two others. I think our bid process is that we have questions answered by all of the respondents as many times as they want to have those questions answered. I'm not sure how many times Capital Funding did submit, but we did answer every question that they ever submitted. Then we went through the process of reviewing the bids. The five or six people who evaluated them then scored all three of those submitted, and based on their familiarity with HUD programs, their familiarity with low-income communities, their understanding of the national objective of job creation, they determined that People Fund was the successful bidder.
Okay. Last year, how many loans were created by SDDC?
Well, no, just for our portfolio, first of all, let me say this. SDDC has had no new funding for their loan program since 2005. So all they're able to loan is what they collect and or minus what it costs to do the program. So what they do is couple their loans when they can with some of the other programs to try to make as many loans as they can.
So just CDBG,
they did only make three loans because they didn't collect, but $410,000 or $25,000, somewhere like that, I believe. So then after they took out the cost of the program and then tried to reserve cash, which is $184,000, that's what they had left.
Okay. Mike, would you come and just explain the bid process and how each of the respective bidders were graded out and how the panel arrived at their decision?
Sure. We went through the normal procurement process, and as Lee McKinney indicated, we addressed all questions. We had a pre-proposal meeting. After we did the advertisement, three proposers that submitted attended the pre-proposal meeting. We addressed questions in the meeting. Then we had subsequent questions that came in over a two-week period. We extended the request for the proposal due to the questions that came in, and we posted 71 questions and answers during that process. After we received the proposals on July 21st, we had an evaluation team, a six-people team, evaluate the proposers based on the evaluation criteria. Based on that, and we had a recommendation for council.
Okay, and so you chose the People Fund as being the recipient of that?
Well, the evaluation committee's summary was the most advantageous was People
most
Fund.
Most advantageous was People Fund. And who was the lowest bidder in that process? Who was the lowest bidder in that process?
Let me kind of, if I can, explain to you how this works. First of all,
I just want to answer that question.
Okay, there isn't a lowest bidder. You get cost reimbursement only. Okay. And that's why it usually is a nonprofit who will do this, because they're in business to simply do services to the community and try to generate enough money to meet their expenses. There is no profit in this, and frankly not clear why a for-profit entity would be interested in it. So
How many bidders did we have? Three.
Three, yes.
Okay. So People Fund was awarded was declared the most advantageous of those three. Were the other two rated as two and three, and who are those people?
Right.
Just for the record.
Sure. Sure. So we had three proposers. People Fund was ranked overall the highest, and we had Lyft Fund, and New Capital Funding was the third ranked.
New Capital Funding was the third ranked.
Yes, sir.
And what was the second one again? Sorry.
It was Lyft Fund.
Lyft Fund. Okay. All right. We're familiar with them. Mayor, I want to make it clear that if we don't choose this most advantageous bid, then SDDC is going to go ahead and move forward and be on their own again in the contract. I think it's probably most beneficial for them to join forces with this new capital group. I'm not new capital group, I'm sorry, but with the People Fund group. I think that makes the most sense to going forward. And we have a timeline. We've got to be able to meet this by September the 30th. So I'm going to call upon my colleagues to support this move of the most advantageous bidder as the People's Fund. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Mr. Clayton, did you want to say anything? Okay. Didn't mean to cut you off earlier, but okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Griggs, Mr. Kingston, and Ms. Gates opposed.
And Kleinman
opposed.
And John
Okay, well, guys. Okay, let's do this. Let's just do a record vote. Okay,
Just do a record vote. One moment, please.
Everybody just puts their hands up late.
One moment. Please cast your vote. All have voted. Voting in favor, Council Members McGue, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Member Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonso, Council Members Callahan, Grayson, and Young. Voting against, Council Members Medrano, Gates, Kleinman, Kingston, and Griggs.
Thank you.
The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Your next item.
We're going to jump to addendum item number 6. The following statement will apply to addendum items number 6 and 7. By making and seconding the motions, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the items will require 2 seconds. Addendum item number 6 is authorized an amendment to resolution number 16-0847 for a housing development loan with Citywide Community Development Corporation to number 1, increase the number of units from 5 to 11, and number 2, increase funds from $225,000 to $975,000 for construction of single-family homes located on scattered sites. Again, 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. We got 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 7 is authorized an amendment to resolution number 16-1224 for a housing development loan with South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation to number 1, increase the number of units from 5 to 11, number 2, increase funding from $320,000 to $1,220,000, and number 3, to extend the contract from March 30, 2017 to December 31, 2017 for scattered sites located in the Fair Park area. 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. We got a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move to addendum item number 5. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson and Council Member Kleinman have a conflict on the item and will be removing themselves from the chamber.
This will be the last item. If you guys could make sure you're in the briefing room, lunch room at 10:40.
Okay. Addendum item number 5 is a resolution designating absences by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Eric Wilson and Council Member Liam Kleinman as being for official city business.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. We will, Council, go into our executive session, lunchroom, meet there in 8 minutes. We will not start till everybody's there, so please be respectful to the other council people and be there at 10:40. Thank you. It is 10:33 on September 14, 2016. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to discuss the following matters described in today's agenda. Discussion regarding the search for and hiring of a candidate for the position of city attorney. Thank you. We will reconvene at 1 p.m. Thank you. Council has completed its closed session under Section 551074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, and at 1:05 p.m. on September 14th, we have returned to open session. Good afternoon, and welcome all. Ms. Rios, we will start with our consent agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do have a few deferrals. Councilmember Medrano would like to be recognized on zoning agenda item number 59.
Mr. Medrano is not here.
Okay.
But
then we have Mayor Pro Tem Alonso on agenda item number 65.
Ms. Alonso.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer item number 65 to the October 26, 2016 agenda. Agenda item number 65.
Second. Got a motion and a second. Do we have to take a vote on this?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Has anybody seen Ms. Medrano? Yeah, I guess let's pull those.
Okay.
Let's pull those two.
All right.
And we'll come back to them.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and proceed with your consent zoning agenda, and that consists of agenda items number 55 through 59. Agenda item number 57 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Griggs, and agenda item 59 by Councilmember Medrano. Therefore, remaining on your consent zoning are agenda items number 55, 56, and 58. I will read those items into the record, after which speakers will be called.
Madam Secretary.
Yes, Ms. McGue.
May I pull item number 56? We're working on something right now. I need to deal with that.
Thank you. Thank you. Therefore, your consent zoning now consists of agenda items number 55 and 58. Agenda item number 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a GR General Retail Subdistrict within Planned Development District number 193 and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant and an ordinance repealing specific use permit number 551 for an instruction of charitable and philanthropic nature for special education to include a private school use on property on the southwest corner of Irving Avenue and Oaklawn Avenue. Agenda number 58 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Tract 3 to allow single-family or multifamily uses within Planned Development District number 324 on the east corner of Scurry Street and Burleigh Street. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just had a question about, you know, the way we, the consent agenda, and it's when we get the information the night before, it says what of the public hearings are going to be on the consent. But when we publish the actual agenda, the order of business, it doesn't say that. Could we just add that? Or when do you decide what's going to be on the consent with the public hearings?
Well, the city manager sets the agenda itself. Now, as far as items being pulled for individual consideration that are going to be
deferred. I'm talking about with the afternoon. You know, when we put the agenda out, it doesn't say what's on the consent for public hearings.
Oh, you want that?
And we don't know that until the night before, you know, when you send out the speakers.
Well, the agenda itself will list what is on the consent zoning. I think what you're
I
asking
think so,
is if
Ms.
it could
Gates.
Be added on the order of business.
Well, I know. I'm looking at it right here. Public hearings. There's nothing listed on consent.
So she wants it added to the order of business?
The order of business. Like,
look at this.
Right.
Zoning cases, consent.
Yeah, but it's not on that one sheet. Okay. That's
so on the one sheeter. Got it. I got it. Now we understand. So, okay. So. No, we don't need. Thank you. Brilliant thought.
Okay.
Brilliant thought. Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Mr. Medrano, you have a couple deferrals.
I would like to defer item 59 to September 28th.
Do I do both of them or just one at a time?
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
I'd also like to defer item 63 and defer this item until October 11th, 2016.
Thank you. Any discussion? Ms. Gates.
Since we've published that this is a public hearing, I think we had a speaker that signed up for 63. I don't know if they're here or not, but it was on our, should we hear the speaker? I mean, since it's an open, because the public hearing is remaining open, is that for technical?
Correct.
So, I mean, it's open now, and it's, I don't know if the speaker's here, but maybe we should consider hearing the speaker.
Ms. Rios,
I haven't seen
Ms. Rios, hold
him.
Councilmember Gates, when we did find out that the item was going to be deferred, we did notify the citizen.
And you did? Okay, so they're not here.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, Mayor, I think this was delayed last time, and I just wonder why are we delaying it two times in a row, I guess.
At the request of the applicant.
At the request of the applicant.
Yep.
And I've gotten the impression by discussing with some that, you know, he's resistant to making any change, and if he's resistant to making any change, I wonder what delaying or deferring is going to do if he's not going to change anything.
Well, I'm giving him another chance till October the 11th, and I appreciate your concern. I'm working with Councilmember Kingston and in District 14 and District 2, so we appreciate you and your concerns. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Councilmember McGee, were you ready for 56?
Mr. McGee.
Okay, let me read item into the record. Agenda item 56 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Tract 2 of Plan Development District Number 795 on the west line of Skillman Street, south of Church Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 249 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 143 replies in favor and 5 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Discussion, Mr. McGee.
So I move approval with the following requirement that the open space be designated per the development plan, which includes a minimum of 6,500 square feet to satisfy the shared access requirement.
We have a second. Thank you. Motion is second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Who made the second, please?
Ms. Young.
Young. Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 60, and that is a public hearing regarding a Landmark Commission authorized hearing to consider a historic overlay for Lakewood Theater on property on the northwest side of Abrams Road, southwest of La Vista Drive, and an ordinance granting the historic overlay for the Lakewood Theater.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 15 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Thank you. We do have 2 registered speakers on this item. They will be called first, after which any other interested speakers will be called. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings, as well as state to the topic. Your first speaker is Norman Alston. Mr. Alston will be followed by Valetta Forsyth-Lill. Again, you have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the council. My name is Norman Alston, 506 Monta Vista here in Dallas. I am the architect for the owners of the Lakewood Theater. I'm really here to answer questions. The person who will be making a statement in favor of this designation and the CPC recommendations will be Craig Kinney, the building owner. So at your convenience, he's ready with me and ready to speak to that issue.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
My name is Craig Kinney, 8525 Ferndale, Dallas, Texas. My partner, Bill Willingham, and I are very pleased that this iconic building, the Lakewood Theater, which has been a Dallas landmark already for decades, is finally being formally recognized as such. We're very gratified that 100 years from now, our descendants and all Dallasites will be able to enjoy this beautiful building. I want to give particular thanks to Catherine Seal and the Landmark Commission for the very professional job they did in reaching a win-win situation here. Bill and I do have one recommendation for the council. The ordinance includes a $2,000 a day fine for all violations. It's our understanding that fine applies to all landmark ordinances. If If the council wishes to establish a win-win situation with property owners, whereby property owners will voluntarily designate their properties, we would recommend, they don't need to do anything, that they formalize the City of Dallas's current position that fine runs from the date of citation. If you read the ordinances don't require that interpretation. There was an article in the Dallas Morning News today, July 7th, of a gentleman in Flower Mound that was being sued by a private law firm for $2 billion for a violation he was unaware of that supposedly went on for 15 years. The article goes on to say that there are 50 such cases currently in Dallas where private law firms approach local jurisdictions and say, hey, we've got a money-raising idea for you. We will scour your records to find violations, and we will sue people on a contingent fee basis, and if we don't collect anything, you're not out of pocket, and if we collect something, you'll get revenue. Now, when I first read that article, and it never occurred to me that by agreeing to this designation, I was potentially exposing myself and my partner, Bill, to millions of dollars of liability. Now, I thought, well, surely, given that egregious potential outcome, I'll get some relief before the final ordinance is passed, especially given how complicated designation ordinances are compared to regular zoning laws. We literally have to, in anything we do, comply or be consistent with Department of Interior regulations. There is no day I will be 100% certain that I am in compliance. It was correctly pointed out to me by a member of this council, it's inappropriate to give relief solely to Lakewood Theater. The relief really needs to go to all landmark designated properties. Let me say there are many remedies in addition to the fine available to the city, including civil penalties, sue me for costs, penalties. My issue is 15 years from now, what if a private law firm says we're suing you for $110 million, we'll sell for $1 million? Bill, I recommend that we fix this situation for all landmark properties. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Valera Forsyth-Lill? Ms. Forsyth-Lill is not present. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? If you'll please come forward, you will have 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings, and please stay to the topic. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, Mayor Rawlings, members of the council. I'm Catherine Seal, 5500 Chatham Hill Lane, chairman of the Landmark Commission. And just to give you a little bit of background, this all started when yours truly initiated this. I called a public hearing to initiate this property as a historic landmark. Of course, at that time, we didn't know how the owner felt about the building, but this is a great example of the larger East Dallas. You all know how active East Dallas is and how passionate they are about their culture and their heritage, and this is a great example of that. So literally, thousands of people in East Dallas came together and said, this is what matters. This is a beacon for us, and we feel very strongly that this is in the interest of the public to designate this. And so I want to just applaud the owner. It was a complicated project, but the owner and his team came through a series of negotiations to get us to where we are today. And the designation committee did a beautiful job working with the property representatives, and Landmark Commission gave this its blessing, and the City Plan Commission worked out some issues further, but this is something that you ought to be very proud of as a city, so I just want to applaud all of you and thank the owner and all of the people that worked so hard to get the project to where it is.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. My name is Joanna Hampton, 5408 Swift Avenue, Dallas, 75214. I'm here today to speak in support of the landmark designation of the Lakewood Theater, echoing many of the comments made by Ms. Steele. The Lakewood Theater is truly unique, and with the Lakewood Shopping Center serves as the town center for our community. There's overwhelming public support for the preservation of this iconic property, as reflected in the 7,000 signatures generated in our online petition. The recommendations before you today are broadly written. They allow flexibility for the sensitive reuse of the property, as well as the preservation of the significant interior murals and flexibility with generous parking provisions, all that reflect the unique nature of this property. We thank the Landmark Commission, City Plan Commission, and city staff for their careful review of the designation and the preservation criteria. And we also thank the owner for working through this process to preserve this important cultural landmark for future generations. It's been a long process, and we're very glad to be before you today. I respectfully ask for your support of the City Plan Commission recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon. David Preziosi with Preservation Dallas, 2922 Swiss Avenue. And we're here today, of course, to support the landmark designation of this iconic building in East Dallas. It's one of the best preserved historic theaters that we have in Dallas and one of the few that we have left. And we definitely applaud the owners for working with the Landmark Commission and the Landmark Designation Committee to to support the landmark designation of this property. We certainly hope that the council will vote for it and will vote based on the CPC recommendation. So, thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Virginia McAllister, 5703 Swiss Avenue. Just wanting to tell you that the East Dallas neighborhoods and neighborhood associations have worked hard on the Lakewood Shopping Center for decades, starting with the 1970s when Abrams and Gaston were going to both be widened to six lanes, blast through the center, take out all the parking, the head-in parking along the streets. We had a charrette, took the traffic around, figure out a way to do a loop around it, create parking along Abrams, what had been Abrams, and really save the center. We pulled together as neighborhoods after that and came up with a planned development district. We worked with the landowners and the merchants and had the Lakewood Planned Development District. And everyone's goal throughout all of this has been to save the iconic Lakewood Theater. And I just want to tell you on behalf of all the neighborhoods that spontaneously came together in December of 2014, when they heard that there might be danger to it, people just sort of came out of the woodwork, pulled together, met, and are thrilled that the owner is asking for designation today and hope very much that you all will pass it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor?
Ms. Lowe.
Ms. Forsyth-Lill?
I'm not as fast as I used to be. I'm running down here. Valetta Forsyth-Lill, 622 Blair Boulevard. Thank you for considering this important action. As you can see by those gathered here today, this site is important to our community. Multiple neighborhoods and generations of East Dallas are represented here today. Each of us has a special memory about the Lakewood Theater. And your action today shows that you value those memories. A review of the history of this building is a who's who of development in Dallas. Hoblet Zell, Dines and Craft, Pettigrew, and Potter Art Metal Studios. Our arts history would be incomplete without mention of the Dallas Nine and Jose Martin. It takes only one degree of separation through architecture and art to encompass the theaters around the city. And those that still stand today, such as the Forest Theater, the Inwood, and the Highland Park Village Theater, those that we have lost, such as the Wynwood, demolished in 1999. The murals dotting the landscape of buildings lost, like the Baker Hotel, and those remain standing, such as the Hall of State, have similar muralists. Yet the Lakewood Theater not only remains standing, but it is the most intact example of the construction of the generation that was, these theaters were built in the 1930s. Its craftsmanship still on display, and it remains the touchstone of our community. We understand that it is more than possible that we will lose the original use of this building, but what we don't want to lose is the iconic look. The parking requirements must not be a deterrent to protection. However, any new structure must be parked to code, which is what your CPC recommended. The signage must be sensitive, and I believe that the CPC recommendation has addressed that. All those things will make it acceptable. This building is an icon for not only this neighborhood, but all who have ever lived in the area and have been spread around the world. It fulfills 8 of your historic preservation criteria. Please protect our icon. Thank you.
Thank you.
No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move to approve the CPC recommendation for approval subject to preservation criteria.
We got a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The neighbors and the owner and the Landmark Commission in this case made our job extremely easy. You all have seen the letters of support, and what we've not seen is even a peep of criticism about this idea. City of Dallas stands in a transitional moment where we are much more cognizant of our architectural patrimony and the need to keep some sense of place and of who we are. This is a great example of Dallas not being so insecure, of really looking at who we are and where we came from and saying, that's valuable, that's something we need to preserve, and that's something that will define us going forward. My predecessor, Valletta Lill, I'm always pleased to see her down here on preservation issues. I got to know her on a preservation issue when she was representing me. And when you hear her talk about the importance of this theater, you might think that that sounds a little bit overblown, but I would actually say that she may have even understated it. This really is, to the extent architecture can be culture and be history, this building is in some ways the soul of East Dallas. And so I am just as happy as I can be. I want to single out particularly Catherine Seal. She's having a hell of a run as the chair of the Landmark Commission. Her work on this has been fantastic. She's been very brave. I'm very appreciative to Mike Byer, the District 14 commissioner as well, and really the entire commission. Also, we should offer sincere thanks to the owners of this building who did not have to go along with this. They did. They had questions that they needed answered. They have a business model. They must make money on this building. That is the only way to ensure long-term preservation of our historic structures. And let's notice this very carefully. The key to preserving Lakewood Theater is viable long-term tenants in a historic structure. Without that, preservation cannot be guaranteed. And when we're considering the historic buildings in Fair Park, we need to look at this example and understand that the idea of fixing up buildings and leaving them empty is a recipe for disaster and for a loss of those buildings. So I am thrilled today. This is all of the parts of the city that wanted to, for so many years, preserve our heritage and provide for a sustainable long-term preservation plan coming together and really working in a positive way. We will be looking forward to seeing the results of it. If there are things we need to tweak in the future in terms of adaptive reuse and the ability to do that, we'll be happy to do that. But today is a great day in East Dallas, and I think a great day in Dallas in general in terms of historic preservation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and I'm going to echo many of the comments my colleague just made. And Lakewood Theater is certainly an iconic building in the city of Dallas, and it makes me think back about what happens when people don't protect things. The Palace Theater is a classic example of what used to be but is no more, and we only have really one chance in getting this right. I do have a couple of questions, though, if somebody might be willing to answer, though. I just want to know how this might affect any ADA issues or any other major changes that might come about. Maybe they've already taken care of those items. Anybody want to speak to that? The owners available here to speak with regard to that? Yeah, please, sir. I just want to make sure that we don't kind of tie your arms completely as far as the utilitarian nature of the...
Guess I'm elected. Do I need to state my name and address again?
No.
Okay.
Answer that question regarding the ADA.
I'm the architect for the owners. We've been looking at this building now for over a year and helping them with develop ways to occupy it and continue to use it. And I would say, no, sir, I would not consider this an impediment to the use of the building. All of the issues you mentioned, such as accessibility and all, those are all pretty readily handled. In fact, those are part of any building, not just historic buildings in Dallas. We have a lot of examples around Dallas where there have been sensitive renovations and restorations of historic buildings. I think we've got a great track record of making historic buildings very adaptable and very, very serviceable for modern tenants. So, no, the client's happy with that, and we as the architects are not the least bit concerned.
Okay. What about just general improvements, air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, and other things like that?
It really won't impact those at all. I mean, it does need all of those things, but we have ways to add all of that and still maintain the historic integrity of the building.
Well, that's excellent news. I know the primary thing is the iconic look, and I'd love to see that continue just
and
the way it is.
The look will be essentially, virtually unchanged. There's a few little things on some of the blank walls that we might have to do, but the look you see on the front of the building, the images you see online and every place on that theater will be unchanged. All of that's protected.
Thank you for your commentary. Thank you, Mayor.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to briefly echo what Mr. Kingston said. This is absolutely a great coordinated effort between willing owners, a very active community, and a very active city councilman. When I was campaigning, this project was first starting to kind of rear its head, and I remember thinking at the time, man, I'm glad it's on the other side of my line. This is a very, very difficult project, and I think sometimes we forget how hard it is to do certain projects, and I think Philip Kingston deserves a tremendous amount of recognition for this because it would not have been done as professionally and as efficiently if you didn't have somebody who ultimately wanted what was in the best interest of the citizens, the owner, and the building. So I just wanted to take a moment to tell him thank you because you saved an amazing building. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I want to jump in and say thank you to everybody. Catherine, your leadership is great, so I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Kingston. And thank you, Mr. Kinney, for really trying to make sure Lakewood stays Lakewood. I will tell you there are some chairs in there that I've sat in for many, many years. They're probably gone by now, but it was great times in my life. So just to know that building's going to be kept the way it is, thank you very much. You raised an interesting question. If you don't mind the city attorney, I've looked into what you talked about, and the staff and the attorney says this while you're they understand your fear that it's really not a valid issue and that will not happen to you, and I just want to make sure the public hears why that's the case. Mr. Bowers?
Sure. Briefly, many years ago, I was the advisor for the Landmark Commission, and I can tell you from that experience that the city staff's approach to historic buildings is to work with the property owner, notify them of a violation, give the owner an opportunity to take care of the matter, and only if that doesn't work the staff proceed to citations.
Okay, and so can someone reach back? Do we ever reach back? What's the length of time we can reach back, and how big can the bill get, I guess, is the question that he's asking.
Sure. State law allows a citation to be written up to 2 years after the fact. That is extremely rare. Most of the time the citation is written the same day or within a few days. As a practical matter, although a citation could be written for each day, state law would allow that. It is staff's practice not to do so unless the violation is truly egregious.
Thank you. Thank you. So I appreciate it, and this, I agree with Mr. Kingston. This is a great day. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, we're going to go back to agenda item number 57, which was pulled by Councilmember Griggs. And that is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new subdistrict and the reduction of shopfront overlay number 7 on property zoned subdistrict E WMU-8 within planned development district number 468, generally on the north side of East Davis Street between North Zang Boulevard and North Beckley Avenue, and on the northeast corner of West Neely Street and North Zang Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 133 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 11 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes. Subdistrict K, first bullet point. For the first and second stories, glass reflectivity may not exceed 15%. For all other stories, glass reflectivity may not exceed 27%. Bullet point two, facade materials may not be simulated brick, unfinished concrete masonry units, aluminum siding, reflective metal panels, plastic siding, vinyl siding, simulated stucco, including exterior insulated finish systems known as EIFS or flake board. Third bullet point, a maximum of 20% of street-facing facade may be flat or corrugated metal panels. Fourth bullet point, a maximum of 20% of street-facing facade may be shake shingles or plywood. Fifth bullet point, a maximum of 35% of street-facing facade may be stucco systems. Sixth bullet point, stucco systems used as facade material must have a minimum thickness of a half inch. Also, accepting the volunteered deed restrictions prohibiting the apartment development type in the north portion of Subdistrict K. And finally, and waiving the 2-year waiting period for future zoning actions in the north portion of Subdistrict K, because this is an ongoing zoning process and delaying or interrupting the project would not meet the purpose of the Dallas Development Code.
Thank you. Do we have a second? A motion is second. Questions? Mr. Commons.
Mr. Commons, I think it's a great, this project is at Zang and Davis. It's by Crescent Communities. It is an absolutely wonderful project that we are putting across the street from the newly opened streetcar line at Zang and Davis. And this project has been 3 long years in the works since the property was owned by and is owned, about to be sold by Dallas County Schools. And we got some great people from Dallas County Schools here today that without them, this project wouldn't have been possible. I'd just like them to stand. Dr. Rick Sorellis, former council member Larry Duncan, and who's on their board, and Omar Narayas also. They've all done a fantastic job on this project. To pull this off in 3 years with the logistics involved of moving the buses to another facility, them moving their offices, all those moving parts, it was a phenomenal job to make this economic development project happen. I also have to thank Ryan Evans and his group for all their hard work on this from when we had this idea 3 years ago. So it's with the vision of the streetcar coming before it was complete, that the site closest to the streetcar, that we can move Dallas County Schools to a great facility, they could get some money for the property, and then we could build a great project with future streetcar riders and help extend everything great going on in North Oak Cliff and Bishop Arts. So thank you to you. Thank you all for all your hard work on this. And thank you to Crescent Communities for your continued involvement in this project and for these minor tweaks that we made. It's going to be a great project, and so it's great to have you here today. So with that, just like everyone's support and getting this great project done for North Oak Cliff. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 61 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new tract for instructional art studio and theater uses within Tract 1 of Plan Development District Number 87 and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a theater use with consideration being given to a specific use permit for a theater and instructional art studio uses on the northeast corner of South Windermere Avenue and West 12th Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 106 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 19 replies in favor and 9 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? We have an individual coming forward. 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you and good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Jonathan Vinson, 2323 Ross Avenue. And really pleased to be in front of you today on another exciting preservation-related, excellent adaptive reuse case. This is in Oak Cliff at 410 South Windermere, at West 12th in the Winnetka Heights Historic District in PD 87. And I have with me here today Mr. Todd Lott, who is, he and his wife Lola own the property and are renovating it. Anastasia Munoz, who you'll hear more about in a second, is the prospective operator of the studio use, and my partner Brad Nischke, who is a North Oak Cliff resident for basically his whole life and has been instrumental in getting us to where we are today with community support. This is a church that was built in 1929, last used in 2009. It's sat vacant since that time, and Mr. and Mrs. Lott have purchased it. They're pouring a lot of money into it, doing the work right now to renovate it, have been to Landmark Commission actually twice for an initial approval and then a small amendment. So they're doing an outstanding job in bringing this back to the condition it was in at the beginning as a structure that really is going to add a lot to the Winnetka Heights neighborhood. Their vision is to repurpose the building for a community-based instructional arts studio and small community-type theater use. And that's where Ms. Munoz comes in. She is a highly experienced artist, arts teacher, and is going to be operating that use. The vision is to first and foremost, engage people in the neighborhood, kids in the neighborhood that might want to take classes there, adults in the neighborhood for the same purpose, small theater groups, what have you. This is actually across the street from DISD's Griner Exploratory Arts Academy, and I understand that earlier today the mariachi ensemble from ensemble from Griner was here, and that's exactly the kind of student group and community group that we want to engage with and help by the use of this facility. However, to do all this required an amendment to PD 87. So we spent about a year talking to the neighbors. Finally, we got it in shape to file about 6 months ago and have been working, continuing to work with the neighbors as well as others in the community and with the staff at that time. So we think this is an excellent request. We respectfully ask for your approval. We do have 2 points that we've communicated that we'd like some relief on. One is on a couple of the lease terms. For the lease of the parking, and also, importantly, to add automatic renewals for the 5-year SUP terms for both uses. The staff has been great to work with us. So has Commissioner Mike Anglin. The staff worked with us on the theater seating to add some flexibility in terms of seating layout. I appreciate their creativity on that. And that's in, I believe, the alternate ordinance that you have before you for the SUP. So we, again, respectfully ask for your approval today. We appreciate your time. Happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other speakers in favor?
Good afternoon. Christine Burrell, 824 North Clinton, Dallas, 75208. I'd just like to say what a breath of fresh air that we have something that's not retail or a new restaurant. This is really represents what North Oak Cliff is about, creativity and innovative solutions and ideas. So I strongly support this and would love to see more of this in my neighborhood. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the PD amendment and the SUP as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes. The maximum 840 square foot seating area may be located in different areas of the building and in varying configurations. And the required lease term of 3 years for remote parking based on a lease is deleted.
Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second? Any other discussion? Ms. Griggs?
I'll just say to the lots, welcome to Oak Cliff. You've really put your heart, and I think it was an understatement that Mr. Jonathan Vincent made a lot of money into this. I cannot believe the extent of the renovations that are being done to bring this church back to life from the condition it was in. It is absolutely remarkable, and it's certainly, for all of you, a labor of love. So very glad to have you in Oak Cliff and support your application today. Look forward to you guys opening the doors. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 62 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern and a commercial amusement inside limited to a live music venue on property on the southeast corner of Commerce Street and Murray Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 11 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 3 replies in favor and 3 in opposition. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of the area of request, a vote of 3/4 is required to approve this request.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Mm-hmm. Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I entertain a motion, Mr. Medrano.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the SUP for a one-year period.
Second. Motion and second. There was a question. Length of time, Mr. Medrano?
1 year.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Who made the second, please?
Mr. Kingston.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 64 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 2066 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store 3,500 square feet or less on property on the northwest corner of West Jefferson Boulevard and North Brighton Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 32 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and 4 in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. On intent, motion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. I move to approve the change of zoning as recommended by the CPC.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you for coming down today, the applicant. You've got a great place. So, I stop in there from time to time since I live near there. There were 2 requests from the neighborhood. When you get a chance, I think it was the reason for some of the opposition. I know part of the planters on the east side were hit not too long ago. So some of the members of the opposition requested that be repaired sometime. And then also moving forward with the removal of bars on the windows, those 2 items. But you guys can take care of them on your own time. I know you'll get it done. And we really enjoy having you in Oak Cliff. So. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement will apply to agenda items number 66 and 73 through 98. By making and seconding the motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 66 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and an expansion of plan development subdistrict number 78 for MF2 multifamily district uses on property in an area generally bound by Fairmount Street, Regan Street, Brown Street and Douglas Avenue, and excluding property on the west corner of Reagan Street and Brown Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 376 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 8 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? 3 minutes, ma'am. State your name and address, please.
Yes, hi. I live on Reagan Street, and that area is way too crowded for those apartments to go up. It is cluttered with apartments all around. Those apartments that they have built there behind in that area are falling apart, and they haven't been there within only just a few years. So I am opposing those apartments to go up in that area.
Your name and address, please.
Excuse me?
Your name and address.
My address?
Your name and address.
Yes, Imelda Reyna, 2627 Reagan.
Thank you very much.
Those apartments should not go up because they're going to fall apart soon. And that area is too crowded for those apartments. It's too many around there.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any other Are there any other speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? In favor? We have a gentleman coming forward. 3 minutes, sir.
Good afternoon, Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rob Baldwin, office at 3904 Elm Street, Suite B in Dallas, and I'm here representing Trammell Crow Residential in this actual third phase of their project in this area. What we're doing is we're just extending the development regulations that have been approved for the first two phases to this third phase. And it's a slightly different design. Most of our parking's going to be underground on this one, and that really helps the streetscape on this. And we've met with city staff who's supporting it, Oaklawn Committee supporting it, and the CPC supporting it. So we hope you can as well. And I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano.
Yes. I know one of the concerns that we had was traffic.
Yes, sir.
And I know that you came to my office and we met and we discussed that. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That's one of the issues that came up with some
Actually, they came up with a really interesting and thoughtful way to address this. This is the third project, and each of the projects has a driveway on a different street. So. And it's in a grid location, so doing that, we can funnel the traffic out to Oaklawn and Maple Avenue and Lemon through different ways. We've done I had Kimley Horn do a full traffic study, and they say that there's plenty of capacity in the streets to accommodate this project.
I know there's one street over there that we're going to take a look at. That's Knight Street. It's a little bit narrower, and we're going to look at maybe putting no parking on one side of that street, so that's one of the concerns. But thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Medrano.
For approval.
Do we have a second?
Two.
Second. And Mr. Griggs. Okay.
Thank you.
Discussion, Ms. Young.
Just a question for the applicant or for staff. This is not a new apartment complex. This is just an additional building for an already existing complex?
No, ma'am. The current property has a mixture of old apartments on it. They'll be removed, and this will be a new project.
Got it. And will there be any affordable housing units?
There are some units that have been designed to be more affordable, but it's not officially affordable housing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 67 is a public hearing regarding amendments to section 51A-4.602, the fence, screening, and visual obstruction regulations in chapter 51A of the Dallas Development Code to address materials and open surface area for fences that are not required by code and an ordinance granting the amendments. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson?
I move to approve the amendment to the development code as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second. A motion and a second. Discussion? Ms. Grayson? You want to say anything?
No.
Okay. Just talk to that. Thank you. Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 68 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of number one, Tyler Street from Canty Street to Pembroke Avenue from an existing couplet to a special two-lane undivided roadway with parking within 60 feet of right-of-way, and number two, Polk Street from Canty Street to Pembroke Avenue from an existing couplet to a special two-lane undivided roadway with bicycle facilities within 60 feet of right-of-way, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance implementing the change. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? If you please come forward, individuals are allowed 2 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings and stay to the topic. Thank you.
Hi, Mayor Rawlings, City Council. My name is Susan Oakey. I live at 444 Mayrant Drive in Wynwood North. I am one of, and all my neighbors feel the same. We are so disappointed that this has even gotten this far. We fully expect that it will be voted and passed because the City Plan Commission passed it. But you need to know that they passed it with severe reservations. When they met, they said that the city staff should have presented more options available. What you need to realize is what they're funneling is a three-lane highway in each direction from where I live in the southern sector into little narrow one-way streets that are going to be impeded by any bus that's turning, by any traffic that's turning. Every study that I've read has indicated when you move a one-way street into two-way streets, you're impeding traffic, you're causing more traffic fatalities. It's presented and been presented as a way to calm the traffic. It's been presented as something that many of the neighborhoods support. I will tell you that those of us to the south do not support this, and we kind of feel like we've been thrown under the bus by our city council representative. I urge you to please consider this. At least put it off until there have been some more studies. We believe that this is very ill-conceived. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Are
there any other speakers on the item? No, we have an individual coming forward. 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. Christine Burrell, 824 North Clinton, Dallas, 75208. This amendment to reduce traffic speed and improve safety at the Tyler 7th Street intersection is a bit ironic. 6 years ago in 2010, Jason Roberts, during his Better Block demonstration at this intersection, explained, "It didn't cost millions of dollars. We didn't have to hire consultants from faraway places to make this happen. All we did was slow the street down, make room for everybody, for cars, people, bicycles. That's all we got to do. We've changed the psychology of the street. We've changed the economics of the area." Then a couple of weeks ago, David Spence, the local commercial property owner, speaking to the City Plan Commission, described how he couldn't imagine a worse way to design a street by a committee this size. He was referring to the citizens and stakeholders in the audience. That design is the job of the consultant who wins the confidence of the senior staff and city council. A thought occurred to me. My fellow North Oak Cliffers forgot about their Think Small campaign. I mean, how did the Tyler 7th Street intersection go from a potential traffic calming, safe pedestrian crossing, public plaza, free because of a TIF funding source, to the most disruptive street design and most expensive, $3.25 million. How is this a better design? Let me explain the TIF funding. In December 2011, a Better Block Plaza concept to make the Tyler 7th Street intersection safer and more walkable was presented to the Davis Garden TIF Board, and the board approved $400,000 in funding for a plaza. 2 years later, the plaza concept was slowly being extinguished by David Spence. An email I received from Spence states he was not a fan of the plaza concept. He would rather see the right-of-way abandoned, added to adjacent properties, and available for redevelopment. By mid-2014, Councilman Griggs proposed the Tyler Polk two-way street conversion plan. In December 2015, the TIF board members reallocated the TIF funds designated for the plaza to Griggs' two-way street plan. According to the meeting's video recording, we were never going to be able to spend the money because whoever was opposed to it was going to do everything they could to not let us spend any money on a plaza. I just don't get it. Funding existed for a solution, and we gave it away because somebody doesn't like public plazas. We as a neighborhood could already be experiencing and utilizing a cool, funky, safe pedestrian and bicycle crossing at a unique intersection that very well could have been the catalyst to an award-winning complete streets one-way couplet, balancing multimodal movement and providing a human-scale street experience. What's not being discussed is Davis Street's new sidewalk design is short on funds and will stop at Clinton Avenue instead of Montclair. Funds should go towards Davis Street, not a Tyler Polk two-way conversion.
just say no to this amendment so the community may choose from alternative complete streets design options, so an Oak Cliff neighborhood may receive the best street design for Tyler Polk, the most bang for the buck. On this street, top-down impedes the essence of complete streets. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers either in favor or in opposition to the item? Again, regardless of what your position is, you may come forward and speak. 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record. Address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
My name is Elaine Pekonen. I live at 116 South Tyler Street in District 1. This project needs to start over and be done right. In 2014, we first met our city councilman at his meeting to discuss converting our street to two ways. There were a handful of real estate guys, of six or eight people from the city, and seven citizens present, only seven citizens. The plan was to spend a little over $2 million, that's now $3.25 million, to add two roundabouts, change traffic directions, and quote-unquote calm the traffic. No sidewalk repairs or streetlight improvements. Lots of vagueness. All this to fix some problem we didn't know we had. When asked, are we going to have a say, be able to vote on this? The answer was no. Now, last January, City of Dallas adopted the Complete Streets Manual, which includes community input as part of the process of improving streets. In Oak Cliff, our community input was ignored. Knox Henderson and Cedar Springs, those residents had input. Does Oak Cliff just not matter still? Why would we spend $800,000 on a policy if we're going to use it selectively? I'm referring to the Complete Streets Design Manual. Our city councilman ignored the Complete Streets Manual. There were no alternative designs considered. So here we are, six meetings later, with minimal changes to the plan. We would like to thank you for the light for helping the elderly cross the street at Tyler and 7th. That's a good adjustment. In the end, only economic development aspects seem to matter. The claim was businesses fare better on two-way streets. Evidently, one of the conversion's goals was to get a quote-unquote sexy roundabout near one businessman's property to help make it a profitable restaurant location. All of this process was to set up the roundabout. There's no need for a roundabout if we don't have two-way streets. That's right. Let's impact 2 miles of city streets so one businessman can have a sexy roundabout near his commercial property to increase its potential rent. This process is discriminating against the residents of the surrounding area. Do we have a say? No. We need to start this process over from the beginning and do it according to the Complete Streets Design Manual. Thank you for your hopefully unbiased consideration.
Thank you.
Next speaker. Do we have any other speakers?
Hi, my name is Terry Lipscomb. I'm a resident of North Wynwood. I think that this whole thing has not been very transparent. I don't think you guys are getting the whole picture. I think that when our council member set up this research, he had an agenda in mind. I've never protested anything in my life with the city. I usually let you guys decide for our well-being. But in this case, this is a bad decision, and it needs to be going back to the starting drawing board. The developer in this deal, the two developers in this deal, they know what they're doing. They're very organized. Us that oppose it are not organized. We don't have a common theme. I didn't know, for instance, that at the traffic meeting we could have had this shut down if I would have brought a busload of people and put a sash on it, put a Miss America sash on them, because all the transportation people did, they didn't count, they didn't do any research or anything, they just counted the number of people that were there that were opposing or for it. All I had to do was get a busload of people and put a Miss America sash, and we could have had this shut down at the transportation committee.
meeting. At the city planning meeting, the developer had his ducks in a row. He had all the neighborhood. He had a member from each of the neighborhood associations come in support of his conversion. But these were neighborhood representatives that were not directly adjacent to this conversion. There was not a member of a neighborhood that was directly affected by this conversion. And maybe because those people are Hispanic and not English speaking, I don't know. But, you know, what better group of people to take advantage of, because they're not going to stand up and take fight for themselves. I am in opposition of this. I think it needs to go back to the drawing board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? No further. Oh, sorry. We have a gentleman coming forward.
Good afternoon. My name is David Spence. I live at 1941 Old Orchard in Dallas. Let's see. I suppose I'd just like to make 3 points briefly. The project has been endorsed by all four neighborhoods that are adjacent to this stretch: Winnetka Heights, the Bishop Arts neighborhood, Kings Highway, actually five, Kid Springs, and Kessler Park. Additionally, it's been endorsed by the Old Oak Cliff Conservation League and Preservation Dallas, and you'll hear shortly the Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce. The second point I'd like to make is that this works because we are reintroducing to this stretch of Tyler and Davis the prospect of death. And the reason I say that is because if you're barreling along on a three-lane, one-way street, you drive like there's nothing stopping you. But if you're on a street where there are cars coming at you, we all behave differently. No one wants to die on Tyler or Polk or any other street in a head-on collision. And that's kind of the magic of this. I know that sounds a little morbid, but that's what we're doing. And all of the traffic studies and the many studies that were quoted at Plan Commission, where this received unanimous recommendation, really boils down to that. It's that when we have another car coming at us, we slow down. And this is the way that all of the rest of Oak Cliff operates. I don't know of any other one-way couplet like this in Oak Cliff. So what we're wanting to do is restore the historic street grid the way it is. The third point escapes me at this moment, and so I will sit down, but thank you for your time.
To say oops.
My name is Jim Lake. I'm a caretaker of old buildings, and I'll give the address of 351 West Jefferson, Mayor and City Council, and Councilman Griggs, and City Manager. And I just want to say I certainly respect the passion of these folks. Our neighbors that spoke a while ago. You know, in driving over here, you know, I came from the design district, and I came down about a 2.5 mile stretch of what used to be one way called Houston Street that was within the last year had been converted to two way. And it was remarkable the transformation that's already started over there as you look at the what's starting to happen at the street level. And I remember Elba Garcia had pointed me as part of a zoning study, the Bishop Davis study that we did from 2008 to 2010. And we had eight sub-districts, and we got that approved. And one of the things that came out of that was a template for, it was mentioned several times today, the complete street idea. And so then Councilwoman Hasso was able to allocate some bond money, and we then completed that project from Bishop Arts District to Methodist Hospital. When we looked at the Tyler Street intersection, we said, you know what, this one takes a little bit more time to take a look at, and we didn't think it was prudent at the time. We thought that it's something that should be come back at and looked at. And so I'm speaking on not only is my, on myself, I have myself as a neighbor. I also attend church on Tyler Street. I also send a child to school on Tyler Street. I'm over there every single day. And today I'm also speaking on behalf of the Oak Cliff Chamber as the chair of the Oak Economic Development. Also on behalf of my wife, Amanda Moreno Lake, that is the chair of the Oak Cliff Chamber. And we have taken a position on this issue, and we support this amendment and this change, and we fully support Councilman Griggs on this issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. Michael Lemon at 2210 West 10th, Dallas. I'm the former president of the Old Cliff Conservation League, and the current president wasn't able to come today. And she wanted me to come and let you know that the Conservation League voted unanimously to support the conversion of the two-way couplet. Personally, I just want to say that I cross this street every day. I'm on these streets every day. It's basically barren between Davis and Jefferson. It has vacant lots. It has buildings that need to be invested in. And something that the lady said earlier, that you're taking a highway and turning it, squeezing it into small roads. It's not a highway. These are roads that used to be two-way roads. There are houses that are just a few feet off this road, and people go 40, 50 miles an hour on this road. It needs to be slowed down. It needs to be reconverted, I think. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
David Preziosi again, Preservation Dallas, 2922 Swiss Avenue, and also a District 1 resident. I'm also on the Old Oak Cliff Conservation League Board, and we did discuss this both with Preservation Dallas and with the board, Oak Cliff Board, that this would be a good thing for the neighborhood and for the businesses in that area. You know, one time you wanted to get through Oak Cliff as quickly as you could with these one-way streets, and now we want to slow people down and take advantage of all that Oak Cliff has to offer, especially the businesses and the transformation that has occurred in Jefferson and Bishop Arts. We want people to be able to enjoy what's going on there and access those businesses and residents more easily. I think also, as was mentioned, the one-way to two-way allows for better safety in those areas, not only for cars but also for pedestrians, people trying to get across the streets, as well as bikers now, because you're introducing bike lanes into these new street or new conversions here. So both Preservation Dallas, we're highly in support of it, and the Oak Cliff Conservation League is as well. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'm sure you remembered your third point, but that's fine. Thank you. Ms. Griggs.
I move approval and I'll have a few comments.
Second.
The motion is second. Go ahead.
Well, great. And I'll ask some staff members to come around. Carl Stundens, Tanya Brooks, and Tim Starr. Y'all would like to come around.
I'm sorry.
No.
We just need one second, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. What I distributed for everyone was a book of all the feedback we received on this project. It's a big binder. We've received 244 letters of support for this project and 54 letters of opposition. The 254 letters of support include 11 organizations, such as the Tyler Street Christian Academy, the Bishop Arts Neighborhood Association, the Winneka Heights Neighborhood Association, the Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce, Tyler Street United Methodist Church, that at one time was built to face the street, and when things went one way, no longer faces the street. The Kessler Neighbors United. You've also got letters from other groups such as Kings Highway Association, Kids Springs Central Association, Preservation Dallas, and the Old Oak Cliff Conservation League. That is a wide variety of groups to get support from for a project. But to me, in going through these letters, they're in your binder under tab 2, is an important set. is a petition by everyone in the neighborhood that's between Tyler and Polk. There are actually people that live between these two one-way couplets. If you read their petition, I'll read you some of the names of the people who signed it. Beatrice Luna, Jesus Peladillo, Dolores Rubio, Juan Mendoza, and others. They talk about how they're in full support of this project. They have lived between these two one-way couplets. They say the traffic rushing to and from work using our neighborhood as a pass-through affects the quality of our life, endangers our children and our senior citizens, and affects us financially. Those of us that live close to these two streets have witnessed so many accidents due to high speeds on Polk and 7th and Polk and 8th. And then you read on and they go on to account individual accidents that have occurred. They go on to account how the cars, when they park on Tyler and Polk, have been wrecked. And they talk about how this is their neighborhood. And they want to enjoy going outside again for a walk. And they want to be outside without fears of the cars being wrecked or cars end up in their living room, because their houses, in some instances, are about 10 feet away from three lanes of traffic moving 60 miles an hour just to get through this area. And you look at the other letters in here from business owners in the area that recount for sometimes 20 years how they answer phone calls and try to direct people to find their business on a one-way street. It's so hard to find a business on a one-way street when every street around it for miles in North Oak Cliff is a two-way street grid that's pre-World War II. And just these two one-way streets, they sit on the phone all day trying to tell people how to find their business, and they lose business. And you look at Oak Cliff, you know it's booming. You go near Bishop Arts District, you look around there. But then you go over to Polk and Jefferson, and around some of these areas, there's actually empty retail. It's the only spot in North Oak Cliff that has some empty retail that can't be leased up. And it's because it's on these one-way couplets, and traffic is going so fast. If we can slow the traffic down, part of this plan is to efficiently move the traffic through the corridor with brand new traffic lights. That's why part of the cost is so expensive. The traffic lights out there, some of them date back close to World War II. They just don't work. They don't detect vehicles moving through the corridor. So part of the expense in this this project is to put all new traffic lights, which can detect vehicles and move them through in an orderly manner. So we're going to fix that. We're going to fix the wayfinding. And this is going to lead to a great investment in these old buildings. Along this corridor, we've got estimates of around 44 pre-World War II buildings in this corridor that we can preserve, get life in them, improve the chances of economic success. So that's a great part. Also, briefly, I'd like Carl Stundens just to read out just the dates of the meetings we've had on this, because we've had two public hearings. This is the second public hearing, but I know we've had a significant number of public meetings. All right, Tanya, can you give the list?
We've held five public meetings to discuss this project: April 7, 2015; April 21st, 2016; June 16th, 2016; June 21st; and July 12th, 2016. Very well-attended meetings, and we've discussed these options. We started with a concept. We modified the concept twice after hearing from the community from each of the meetings.
We modified the concept as we went along. And I've got to thank both Tanya and Tim. They put in a lot of long hours at every one of these meetings, staying late, meeting with people, going over alternative concepts, continuing to refining things. And just after today, there's no design that's final. You're going to continue, it'll be, if this is approved, a two-way design, but you'll continue to work on what exactly the design elements are as this moves forward. And this project is important to North Oak Cliff because we want to not only find a way to use our old buildings to adaptive reuse, which we just had a case about that, but one of our strengths that's made areas so successful, our neighborhood so strong, is the two-way street grid. It's an absolutely great straight grid that gets the short blocks, gets people along, gets people around easily, and helps them find the find their way. And we have no intention, and Tim will speak to this, about lowering the level of service from moving through the corridor in AM and PM peak. City staff, I believe we have traffic studies on this corridor dating back to the 1990s. Tim can confirm that.
Yes, we did conduct traffic studies. We took counts in January of 2014. We compared those counts. We have historical traffic data that goes back to 1990. So we compared those against the historical counts. Actually, the volumes have really pretty much stayed about the same. Staff is confident with the proposed two-way conversions that traffic flow will continue to operate at a very comfortable, acceptable level of service.
And this is a great way for us to move forward our complete streets project here in the city of Dallas, where we see other streets we've made some changes to, Knox, Henderson. I know they're looking at one on McKinney and Cole. As just things become more neighborhood friendly, we're returning our streets to their original two-way functionality. But I really want to thank city staff for all their long hours and continuing to work on this. In this case, obviously, you can see by the booklets, we've gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of people. And again, we've gotten 244 letters of support through yesterday at noon when we closed it to finish the assembly of the books, and 54 letters of opposition. So the support in the neighborhoods is overwhelming for this project compared to the opposition. And I'll say also, I use this corridor daily. I live at this, not as far south as some people do, not as far south as Wynnewood North, but I live at the southern terminus of this corridor off of Jefferson. And so I use this corridor daily to go north and south. And it certainly is not our intent to slow down traffic the time it gets through the corridor and take things to gridlock. We're going to create more options by having the two-way streets, encourage the businesses to flourish, help the quality of life, and particularly we're going to help residents such as those I talked about that live between the Tyler and Polk corridors who are really suffering with cars going by their homes all day at 60 miles an hour. And we're going to return this to being even a stronger neighborhood. So I appreciate city staff's all your work on this, and I'd ask you colleagues to support me on this today. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to congratulate Mr. Griggs on this project. The feedback from the community is overwhelming. And I was thinking about how we got where we are with regard to our one-way couplets throughout the city. And it happened not in this building, in the previous city hall. And city staffers, who are your predecessors, would come to the city council, our predecessors. It wasn't a 14-1 system back then. There were fewer of us. And they would tell the city staff, the city council, that not only was it critical for traffic flow that we convert these perfectly well-designed community two-way streets into these high-speed one-way thoroughfares right through people's neighborhoods. And it's just critical for economic growth and development. And Mr. Stendens, does it sound like something that a previous economic development department might have said? And not only is it critical that you tear the heart out of these neighborhoods, but we want you to borrow money to do it. They put these on bond packages back in the 50s and 60s. So we're actually having to go back and correct historic mistakes, and we'll have to borrow to do it. But it's absolutely critical for our in-town neighborhoods to have their street grid return to something that serves the neighbors and doesn't serve commuters. And I just can't. I want to say a special word about city staff's work on this. As you all know, I'm a big fan of the Complete Streets Design Manual. I've been working very closely with Tanya and Tim and Pierre on the McKinney-Cole conversion, which I think we'll bring to you later this year or early next year, perhaps. And it's just been a joy. I mean, it's been that grassroots, as many meetings as it takes, get input, change the plan if the input isn't what you expected. There's none of this that has been run down anybody's throat at all. And it's such a good development. It really does meet up with what you heard Ms. McAllister talk about here earlier, that they had to fight off thoroughfare plan amendments around the Lakewood Theater to preserve the theater. This is exactly the same, in the same vein. We need to preserve our historic street grid, and I think that's what Mr. Griggs is doing today. I can't be more strongly in favor of it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to also commend Councilman Griggs for his effort and hard work on this. I remember years ago when District 1 was District 3, with a lot of work in this area with the Gateway Project and this particular initiative. I had opportunity to attend the Plan Commission session on this particular initiative, and there was a lot of discussion. There were individuals who came who spoke who were on both sides, but overwhelmingly there was support for this amongst the Plan Commissioners, fellow colleagues. It passed unanimously. I think it was a voice vote, as a matter of fact. And so there was support, and I could tell your appointee, Councilman Griggs, had done his homework, and he's very well respected amongst his colleagues who are on the Plan Commission. So I am in support of it. I think it will be something good for that particular area and that particular neighborhood, especially new opportunities that will come for economic development. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mrs. Arnold.
Thank you. Excuse me. I am going to, can't help it, listen to those who have shared with me the voice that I heard in my communities about 2 months ago when I asked this council to give support to the historic 10th Street, as they talked and shared some of the same sentiments that these individuals share today about being disenfranchised, left out, ignored. And whereas I am not trying to interfere with the business of District 1 as District 1 interfered with the business of District 4, I can't help but say I do understand your sentiment. And so I know many times residents feel as if the profit motive supersedes the people's agenda. So I am not going to, excuse me, today, support what I believe may very well be reflective of the same position that I have, as I will continue to use every opportunity to fight for the individuals of District 4 who have sent me to the table to represent them. And so I do hear your voices, will not ignore you as my constituents were ignored by a majority of this council. But I'm going to keep pushing the rights of the individuals, of the council member, the respect that is due to a council member to represent their constituents. And I know Mr. The District 1 representative has some support, as he's put in on the paper, but I'm going to tell you that I know how it feels, and my people know how it feels, to be disenfranchised and basically to turn its back on democracy. So my vote will be no. And Council, please know every opportunity that I get, I'm going to continue to tell the story of how a council member, District 4, disrespected, people ignored, as they fought for the right to protect the neighborhood. That's all we're asking for as well. The right to not be intruded upon because of a profit motive. So I'm going to keep pushing the people's agenda. I'm going to keep telling the story of disenfranchisement. And I'm not going to let it die. So I'm going to share that with you council members today, and you've got to make your own decision. But you know what? Payback is hard to deal with. But at some point, we've got to get to the point where we stand for people and not profit only. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I just have one question clarifying, Mr. Griggs. I'm sure I misheard. But are we creating a roundabout that's two ways?
Two one-way streets are being converted to two two-way streets.
Right.
The decision on where to put signals, if a roundabout will be put in, will be studied later by city staff.
But we'd never do a roundabout with two-way streets. There was a lady that said that.
Well, there would be, I guess you could do a roundabout with one-way or two-way streets. I don't know, but city. But city staff, that's a question for down the road.
Into the roundabout. No, I meant a roundabout.
There's two ways. No, you can't do it.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's
not being proposed. No, no. And
that's what I thought. I just wanted to.
No. Yeah.
I know, I got that.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. We're not going to do anything that. We're not going to try that.
I wanted to clarify that one. Okay. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, Ms. Arnold. Thank you.
Agenda item number 69 is a public hearing on the proposed sale of 8 unimproved properties acquired by the taxing authorities from the sheriff to Dallas Neighborhood Alliance for Habitat, Inc. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize the city manager to, number one, quit claim 8 unimproved properties to Dallas Neighborhood Alliance for Habitat, Inc., using the House Bill 110 process of the city's land transfer program, and number two, release the city's non-tax liens included in the foreclosure judgment, together with post-judgment non-tax liens, if any. Are there any individuals that would like to speak, either in favor or in opposition? You may please come forward. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer. State your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Rawlings. I'm Dr. Latrice Atkins-Weathersby, and I'm the newly hired public grant specialist at Dallas Area Habitat for Humanity. My permanent residence is 3227 Goldspear Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75215, lifetime resident of Sunny South Dallas, District 7. Habitat for Humanity is located at 2800 North Hampton. We respectfully ask permission and approval to close the sale of 8 unimproved properties in West Dallas. Habitat for Humanity is the Dallas affiliate of Habitat International and has been working across Dallas communities, particularly in high-poverty, low-income communities, since 1986. For the last two decades, our partnership and our service in West Dallas has yielded about 63 home repairs, over 150 new construction, and an investment of almost $18 million by the end of 2018. We are seriously partners and servants of West Dallas as well as South Dallas Joppe throughout the communities. Although I am a new hire to Dallas Habitat for Humanity, I'm not new to Dallas or to the needs of high poverty, low income communities as a lifetime resident of South Dallas. And when I took the job, it was understood that I came with a servant's heart to match the heart of the Dallas Area Habitat for Humanity. Often I go into the West Dallas community wearing my badge, and the only question there is will I qualify? And I get vignettes and stories and people saying, you know, can I apply for a home given this circumstance and that circumstance? And I have conversations in the middle of Family Dollar, in the middle of 7-Eleven, in the middle of the community, because people are very, very excited and welcoming of the good work that the institution is doing in West Dallas. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers on the item? Please come forward. Again, you have 3 minutes.
Oh, you can wait. Come on in, Mr. Hill.
Yes, my name is Mr. Hill. As a matter of fact, I never had the opportunity to meet Ms. Barbara. I'm the legal and binding owner.
Just speak right into the mic.
I'm the legal and binding owner of 3107 Fusion and 3012. This particular property, not only this particular property, but other particular properties are yet pending as of judiciary. City Council Scott Craigs, Alonzo, as I call your office many times, Ms. Esmeralda, as I've spoken with many times throughout the past three weeks and months. I also have a Crime Stoppers report number pertaining to this particular property. I also have a city attorney's Dallas 311 request pertaining to this particular property, and that consists of a probate. Anytime a probate is being protested, that meaning that those particular individuals that are not implemented in that particular property are not from Dallas County, that means the sale and disposal of 1 1/4 mile. I mind Ms. Barbara. I have not gone to 7-Eleven.
Speak in the mic. We can't hear you.
I do not go into 7-Eleven due to the fact that I don't facilitate narcotics at 3014. I'm the one that cleared that particular property at 3107. If you walk right around the corner from Church's Chicken, all those limbs and things, I did that not only 3107, but 1960, 2035, and 1949. Dallas County Committee.
You, sir, you need to kind of talk to me. Thank you.
As a matter of fact, Mike Rowland's Dallas County Committee conspiracy. At many different times, I spoke with alums at the NIP programs. No response. The DA's office constable, the Moonlight at Arrows, they live in my particular place of residence at 2035 Pueblo. Also, I've undergone identity theft. I have no rights to my particular property in which my dad worked for. I'm the only child, but my mother conceived another, in which I highly respect. And I do believe that he would be highly appalled because my efforts are not vain. Only thing I can ask is if the Dallas City Attorney look at the service request in which my food was spit into at the KFC that's right across from the 7-Eleven, and although I do not go into the Family Dollar because of the sexual harassment in which child molestation is current in that particular area. And I do believe, yes, child molestation is current in that particular area. And I do believe, and I ask that you address this particular issue. And I have resolved more than one homicide case here in Dallas County. And no investigation.
So you got to speak to the issue that we're talking about. About these properties. I think you've kind of swayed off of it.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mayor Mike Rowlands, the situation is this particular property is yet in a probate and therefore it's judiciary. So you can't speak anything about it.
Great.
Also the city investigator.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers? Please state your name and address for the record.
Hello. My name is Jacqueline Trotter. I live at 4023 Puget Street. And first, give an honor to the mayor and everyone at the city council. I would like to say that I do appreciate that y'all are using that property that's available. Because there are several people that need homes. Really and truly there are. And the only thing that I ask is that if y'all could at least try to put a skating ring, put the skating ring back up, you know, give the children something to do. All the people are doing are just gathering at one place, the park. And they are being harassed because they are gathering at the park. That's not a place for the children. So as well as improving the housing area, improve activities for the children because they're not hanging up there and they're getting into other things that they shouldn't be getting into. And that's basically by a lot of them's parents. Because their parents are hanging around. Would y'all please consider finding something for these children to do on the weekends and after school, you know, activities like we used to have. That's the only thing that I've got to say. But I do appreciate very much that y'all are at least investing into our neighborhood. Okay, thank you.
I didn't get your name and address, if you can just do that once again.
My name is Jacqueline Trotter, and I'm at 4023 Puget Street.
Thank you, Ms. Trotter.
Y'all have a good day.
And you too.
Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question? I don't know if it's housing or the attorney. Can I remove one of the addresses or... Or can I get it? Can we get Can we remove 3107 Puget and get some clarification and then bring it back if we need to, or?
It can be removed. Reminder that these particular properties have already been struck off to the city from the sheriff, and that's typically where any kind of these issues are settled. We act as a trustee for all the taxing jurisdictions to sell the property.
Or I can ask for this one to be deferred for our next meeting?
I certainly can do that.
So can I make two motions?
Please.
Or have to have
Please.
Them individually?
No, let's separate them.
So I make a motion to defer in regards to address 3107 Puget, and I make a motion to move the other items forward.
We'll take the first issue.
That's what I was asking if I could do that.
We'll take the first issue to defer that address. Do we have a second? We have a second. Any discussion? Mr. Callahan, did you want to?
Yeah, Mayor, I mean, with all due respect, I mean, obviously the Mayor Pro Tem has the right to defer this. We're way down the road on this thing. The sheriff's already foreclosed his properties due to non-payment of taxes, and we've gotten them back, and we've quit claiming them over to Habitat. It's really Habitat, then it would be their responsibility to clean the title up if there's any issue. There's no doubt that it could be in probate, but it was these properties were taken due to non-payment of taxes. So I would suggest we move on, let Habitat clean up that mess and not get involved.
Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could we hear from Habitat what the proposed deferral would do? Would you mind coming to the mic, please, ma'am? Is that all right, Mr. Mayor?
Go, please.
Thank you.
No, sir, we just Habitat. Thank you.
Council member, if you don't mind, repeat your question for me.
Yes, ma'am. The Mayor Pro Tem has proposed to send forward to potential closing all of your parcels except the one on Puget. How does that affect Habitat's plans? Is that acceptable to Habitat?
It would be acceptable to us, but the other council member is quite right in terms of it would be a problem that we would inherit. One of the things we do in our process, of course, is our environmental review, a whole bunch of other steps that we take. And so the neighbor and we would actually end up at a table of discussion trying to resolve what the concern is. As I made in my opening statement, we are welcome in West Dallas, and we are a servant and a partner. We're not an encroacher or an interloper or anything of that nature. And so if there is a concern and an issue, that's definitely something we want to move forward
with. How often does Habitat have to clear clouded title?
If I were to give you a percentage, it's not very often. We're talking like less than 10% because we do our due diligence in everything that we do, and we rarely get to a point where after we have made all of the steps that someone comes forward and says, hey, I have an issue. So it's rare, but it's not an anomaly. But I do appreciate Mayor Protein's suggestion of removing it. But if that is not the case and you move us forward, then definitely as a servant and working in the community, we definitely have to make sure that we address the issue.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank
Mayor.
You.
Thank you, Ms. Alonso. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, just as a follow-up to that, obviously if they get it, they're going to have to clear the clouded title. And if they cannot, it's going to come back to the city. The gentleman still has the right to redeem the property, you know, up to a certain period of time, so he can pay those back taxes, tax and penalty and all that. So it's not the end of the game. But, again, we're just simply pitching it to Habitat to let them deal with it. If they can't deal with it, it'll come back anyway. If the law stands on his side, he'll have that opportunity.
Councilman, this is Art Hubman with the city attorney's office. I think on voice from on high, yeah. That's the way it should be. I was just going to point out that on these, they wouldn't be going through this process if they were still in the redemption period. So these have been acquired, these have been through the process and have been pretty far down from the tax judgment suit that's had. Most of, yes, sir, 2 years for homestead property, lesser time for commercial property. And in the foreclosure process, the Linebarger firm that handles those for us in the county do their due diligence in investigating heirship issues and any other sort of title issues. And then the final point is the city would be conveying this to Habitat via quitclaim deed, and so it would be Habitat's responsibility to clear up anything that did sneak through the cracks, but that's very rare that that happens.
Would the gentleman have an opportunity to, at some point, take this property back, or has it gone too far down the road for that to happen?
Unless there's some merit to his claim about a defect in the actual sale, it's too far down the line. He doesn't have any more redemption rights. And as I said, we feel pretty confident in the way Leinberger handles the lawsuits that any issues of that nature were taken care of at that time.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Lonzo, do you want to say something
else? But I was asking the question if it doesn't affect for 2 weeks. So I there was a motion
you've got,
in a second. Thank you.
We've got that motion as stated in a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Two opposed. The motion carries. Then the second is the
move
rest
all
of
the
it.
Item forward. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Say
the motion to move all the items, all the other addresses forward, properties.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, colleague.
Thank you. Agenda item number 70 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Highland Industrial Properties, L.P., located near the intersection of Shady Trail and Mañana Drive and adjacent street rights-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Highland Industrial Properties, L.P., and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. I'm required to read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step up and identify yourself?
My name is Scott Harlan. I'm a Texas professional geoscientist with Environmental Claims Management, 26 Brook Arbor Court, Mansfield, Texas, 76063. I prepared this application and would be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals that would like to speak either in favor or in opposition to the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
Move for approval.
We had a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 71 is a public hearing on the proposed 0.7842 cents per $100 property tax rate for the 2016-17 fiscal year. The City Council will vote to adopt the proposed tax rate on Wednesday, September 21, 2016 at Dallas City Hall, 60 South at 9 o'clock a.m. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
No, come on, somebody, anybody, please. We're going to raise your taxes.
Going once? All right. What's that? Do we need to vote to close this?
To close, yes.
Do we have a motion to close? We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 72 is a public hearing on an application for and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from Holy Trinity Catholic School, required by Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code to allow a wine and beer retailer's off-premise permit for a general merchandise or food store with 10,000 square feet or more floor area on the east line of Oaklawn Avenue south of Irving Boulevard. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? You may come forward. You will have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Callie Turner. I'm an attorney at Gardier Wind Sewell here in Dallas. I'm here today on behalf of my client, Randall's Beverage Company, Inc., on their application for a variance of the city's alcohol spacing requirement. Randall's intends to operate a Tom Thumb grocery store at this location at 3878 Oaklawn Avenue, number 180. Tom Thumb intends to sell beer and wine for off-premise consumptions However, the property is within 300 feet of the nearby Holy Trinity Catholic School, and for that reason, we are requesting a variance of the spacing requirement. Although the property lines are within 300 feet of each other, they are separated by Oaklawn Avenue. Further, the front door of the grocery store is more than 800 feet from the front door of the school, and so there's a significant difference between the two locations. I was here last year on behalf of Fresh Market, who was granted a similar variance for the exact same location. Tom Thumb is coming in and taking over the store, and they're asking for that same privilege as well. Within that same shopping center, World Market has received a variance to sell beer and wine for off-premise consumption. I have with me today David Harden, who is the senior real estate manager for Randall's, should you have any questions about the operation of the Tom Thumb store. Lastly, I'd like to note that the school has not voiced an objection to our application, and neither has the staff. For this reason, we recommend that you, or we request that you grant our variance. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Two seconds, since it is an alcohol variance.
Mr. Kingston.
Move approval of the variance.
Second.
2 seconds, please.
We got a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion, Mr. Kingston?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not a huge fan of these variances. I think that setback is in place for a reason. But this church truly doesn't care. Can't even really be bothered to respond. The neighbors really do care, and they are very much looking forward to Randall's being there. Also, if you look at the site, there's actually Paul Martin's restaurant, which is maybe 100 feet from the church, which is a very good place to get a drink, and I encourage you all to go there and do that. So this one's a pretty easy one. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Okay.
The following are...
go ahead and read your
overview.
Well,
there are several of the next few items.
What we're going to do, the next are the PIDs that we've talked about before. We had the executive session on it. I would suggest that we take all these together, but I will be glad if anybody's got... anything they want to pulled out, I'm not seeing that, so we'll take them all together. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The verbiage for the items that I'm about to read are pretty much similar, so I will read information and then clarify what PID each item pertains to. Agenda item number 73 is a public hearing concerning, agenda items number 73, 75, 77, 79, 81, 83, 85, 87, 89, 91, 93, 95, and 97 are public hearings concerning the proposed levy of assessment for the district for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by assessments on property in the district. Therefore, agenda item number 73 is for the Dallas Downtown Improvement District. Agenda item number 75 is the Deep Ellum Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 77 is the Clyde Warren Park Dallas Arts District Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 79 is the Knox Street Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 81 is the Lake Highlands Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 83 is the Oak Lawn High Line Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 85 is the Prestonwood Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 87 is the South Dallas Fair Park Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 89 is the South Side Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 91 is the Tourism Public Improvement District. Agenda item 93 is Uptown Public Improvement District. Agenda item 95 is the University Crossing Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 97 is the Vickery Meadow Public Improvement District. Those will be the public hearings of which I will call speakers. Because the items are somewhat collective, next similar wording for the items are an ordinance approving and adopting the final 2017 service plan, the final 2016 assessment plan, and the 2016 assessment roll,
establishing classifications for the apportionment of cost and the methods of assessing special assessment for the services and improvements on property in the district, closing the hearing and levying a special assessment on property in the district, providing for reimbursement of city administrative costs, fixing charges and liens against the property and against the owners thereof, providing for the collection of the 2016 assessment, providing for the city participation in the district in an amount not to exceed a set amount, and providing for an effective date. So agenda item number 74 is for the Dallas Downtown Improvement District, and the amount is $651,427. Agenda item 76 is for the Deep Ellum Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 78 is for the Clyde Warren Park Dallas Arts District Public Improvement District. Agenda item 80 is for the Knox Street Public Improvement District. Agenda item 82 is for the Lake Highlands Public Improvement District. Agenda 84 is for the Oaklawn Highline Public Improvement District. 86 is for the Prestonwood Public Improvement District. 88 is for the South Dallas Fair Park Public Improvement District. 90 is for the Southside Public Improvement District. 92 is for the Tourism Public Improvement District. 94 is for the Uptown Public Improvement District. 96 is for the University Crossing Public Improvement District. Agenda item number 98 is for the Vickery Meadow Public Improvement District. Therefore, would any individuals like to speak on the public hearings, which are for agenda items 73, 75, 77, 79, 81, 83, 85, 87, 89, 91, 93, 95, and 97. And you may speak either in favor or in opposition to. Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Mr. Mayor, I so move to close the public hearing on items jointly and collectively 73, 75, 77, 79, 81, 83, 85, 87, 89, 91, 93, 95, and 97, and also move the adoption of 74, 76, 78, 80, 82, 84, 86, 88, 90, 92, 94, and 96, and 98.
2 seconds, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Got a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? Mr. Kingston.
I just briefly want to extend my thanks to all of the PID volunteers and professional staff who are here today. These are spread throughout the city, and frankly, the wheels would fall off this place without the work of the PIDs. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Motions are carried. Well, that motion is carried. Thank you. We'll take our afternoon speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The remaining open microphone speakers from the morning session are Tom Gibbons and Kim Cole. They will be followed by the and open microphone register speakers, Rachel Coppell, Linda Newland, Michael Nelson, and Herbert Wilborn. Will Tom Gibbons, Mr. Gibbons, are you present? Not present. Kim Cole? Not present. Rachel Coppell? Ms. Coppell, you may come forward. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. You do have 3 minutes.
Hello, all. My name is Rachel Coppell. My address is 5200 Meadow Creek Drive, apartment 2120, Dallas, Texas, 75248. I really appreciate you all taking a moment out of your day to listen to me. As we all know, Zika virus is an important topic right now. Many cities, including Dallas, have sprayed or plan on conducting aerial sprays in an effort to control the Aedes mosquitoes that carry Zika. However, the adulticides that are being sprayed via airplanes have little to no effect on the Aedes mosquito for multiple reasons. They spend most of their lives as larvae, they are low-flying and typically hide under covering, they are late-morning feeders, and aerial sprays are typically conducted at night. Nolid, the adulticide that is used in an attempt to combat the mosquitoes, is an organic phosphate insecticide, which for humans and animals alike is highly toxic by all routes of exposure, according to Cornell University. not only is knowledge a danger to public health, but can also kill precious pollinators that are needed to grow our food. Babies and young children are at especially high risk for exposure to NALID. Cornell University states that if a pregnant woman comes into contact with NALID, it can cross the placenta. This is a huge danger because NALID is a known endocrine disruptor. So what can we do to stop this? Instead of conducting aerial sprays of toxic adulticides, we can spray larvicides such as BTI. BTI is a bacteria that targets mosquitoes and their larvae and causes their stomachs to explode, killing them. Because it's very important to realize that the Aedes mosquito lives most of their life as larvae, so if we're combating them as adults, we're not making any difference. There are safer ways to deal with this issue that we are currently facing, and I, along with other concerned citizens of Dallas, would like this to be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Linda Newland.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes. Sorry.
Can we have somebody from the Office of Environmental Quality to get with her and see if her ideas can be investigated?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have someone reach out to you.
Okay? I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Linda Newland. Ms. Newland is not present. No, I'm sorry. Ms. Newland is coming forward. Ms. Newland, you do have 3 minutes.
Now, Ms. Newland, you're not supposed to bring signs. They told me, so just what?
Excuse me, sir. It has been approved.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you.
I went through.
Okay, I got it, got it, got it, got it, got it. Okay. Go ahead and give us your name and address and go ahead.
Okay. 256, it says, I'm Linda Newland, 2468 Dorrington Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75228. I'm in District 7. I'm here today to speak about fluoride. In doubt, leave it out. No fluoride. Less is more. No fluoride. So, Mayor and Council members, have y'all recently considered that some people do want fluoride and some do not? How about this? Give containers of fluoride to those that do want fluoride with instructions on how to add fluoride to their water. That way, those that do not want fluoride to Dallas's water, naturally fluoridated water, will get what they want. And the people who want more fluoride will be able to get what they want. So, since there might be a mad rush to get the fluoride containers, I will more than glad to volunteer my time and energy to help distribute the fluoride containers, even though I am not for adding more fluoride to Dallas's naturally fluoridated water. So, when in doubt, leave it out. No fluoride. Less is more. No fluoride. So, please consider both. Counting down, 48. I want to take full advantage of my 3 minutes.
Motion to extend.
Here we go. 31. Just something to consider. Thank y'all.
Your next speaker, Michael Nelson. Mr. Nelson, not present. Herbert Wilborn. Mr. Wilborn is not present.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned, 3:05 p.m. Trying to be.